about.
Nerds, hear me! Comic-Con is not a place for David Schwimmer, and it's bad even for NBC sitcom. It's a place where people like us could be ourselves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
So your Comic-Con weekend has been how?
It's been. How has it been?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Another thing to clip in the reel of you saying dumb things.
You know what, Kevin? I had to tell you this, but I've had a crush on your voice since forever.
And now that you see me.
Now that I see you, I don't anymore. But still, I still like you. I'll still listen to you. If I shut my eyes, will you talk to me all day?
No, I will not.
And now.
Listen to yourself, man. You're hanging with nerds.
But nerds are my mortal enemy.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego for Comic-Con.
It's true.
How about that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's
Thursday
happening.
Morning, the 19th of July.
I am stunned to see Kevin here, first
How
of all.
How dare you?
But this year, I am even more stunned to see producer Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yeah, no kidding. What a plan he had.
Who made terrible choices last night.
What do you mean? It was easy.
Dave.
Had a good time.
It's 5:30 in the morning, 120 yeah. miles away from home.
Yeah.
What time did you get in?
Well, see, I don't know, 1:30 a.m.? Yeah, check. That's good, right?
Are you at your best with 3 hours sleep?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer that for him.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure when I've seen your best.
right now.
Yeah.
Listen, he was there to meet me at 4:51.
Wow.
That was amazing.
That was 6 minutes late, but
well,
good.
I mean,
really good.
It was 1 minute late, but right. It was impressive. You saw Paramore?
Yeah, I saw Paramore last night at the Forum. It's great.
Here's the thing, though, Bean, that I didn't realize until yesterday after the show, is his plan wasn't quite as bad as we thought, because we pictured him driving down late.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He came with his girlfriend and some other people that could have driven. So he could have slept the entire time after.
What?
Right.
No, I drove. I drove by myself. Everyone has to work today.
What?
But yeah, no. But it was great. Well, here's the thing, Kevin. I thought, you know what? Comic-Con always has a lot of traffic.
Right.
So why not leave at midnight when there's nobody
idea.
On the road?
Sure.
Yeah.
And a breeze. I just breezed down. There was no one on the road.
Was there anyone on the road?
There was no one.
But how was your alarm this morning, though?
Not fun.
I plan my life around how many hours sleep I can get, okay? I don't know what kind of shape Allie would be in. I know I would be a disaster right now if I made the choices you made last night.
Well, listen, I mean, I got to get through today, and then we're ready for the weekend, right?
Well, no, there's tomorrow's show. It's only Thursday.
Yeah. What?
So we have...
Ouch.
Wow. That hurt at the end there.
Neighborhood
that hurt me.
It's a little bit squeaky. All right, well, congratulations, Dave. I'm very impressed. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was a great two-hour dance party, man. You guys missed out.
And we have a lot to talk about.
A dance party here.
Right? We have a lot to talk about that is Comic-Con related, including already news that Kevin and Allie both were alone weeping in their respective hotel rooms last night.
Man,
nothing different.
Just how you want to start your
day. For two different reasons. One, because the ESPYs were terrible. And two, because the Jim Kelly thing was amazing.
Yeah.
I am going to disagree vehemently with you about the ESPYs being terrible. How about that? How do you like me now?
Okay.
So we'll discuss coming up. First, though, do we have time for a thing?
Sure.
I don't know what your level of interest would be in this. I guess you have to be the kind of person who wouldn't mind 40 to 50 people a day stopping by and taking pictures of your house. But the mansion in Colfax Meadows, which is a Studio City neighborhood, where the Brady Bunch was filmed, is up for sale. Okay. This is the exterior. They did the inside of the house was on a soundstage, but whenever you'd see the Brady Bunch house, the classic sitcom from the 70s, whenever you'd see the outside of the house, it's this house. And it looks exactly the same today as it did back in 1970.
Okay.
Before I tell you more, would you automatically not want to live in that house just because of its fame and notoriety? Or do you think it would be kind of cool to be, oh yeah, Brady Bunch house, own it?
Not a... Big Brady Bunch.
What, really?
Brady Bunch fan. I didn't really watch it. Didn't really care.
But even if you didn't, you know how massively successful, what a pop culture icon it is and the house is. And
I think I would avoid that.
You could say to
I've
most
taken
people.
Pictures in front of
you
it.
Have.
I
okay,
have.
I would definitely.
So have,
have
Stryker,
you really,
so
Alex?
I would definitely avoid it then.
Oh, awesome.
Would you buy it if it met other criteria, Allie?
Yes.
I don't think if everybody stopped out front taking pictures.
I'd be like, bitch, I live in the Brady Bunch house. Yeah. I'd be in the window for like every picture, just creeping. That'd be amazing.
The property is I think it's a 2,500 square foot home on a 12,500 square foot lot right up against the LA River. And as I said, they've done a lot of work on the inside, so it's nice, but they kept the exterior exactly the same. The Brady Bunch, the agent says, for the next 20 or 30 years will never be forgotten. I think there's a definite cool factor in buying one of the most recognizable television homes in existence. By the way, in case you're wondering, they are preparing for an avalanche of interest with emails and telephone calls. Everybody is going to want to come by and see that house, but they're trying to figure out a way now to make it so it just doesn't turn into a giant open house looky-loo situation. So I'm not sure if they'll end up having to, you know, pre-qualify buyers or whatever, or figure out some way to ferret out that you're actually interested in buying the house rather than just
you. I assume you would not buy that, even think about it for a second with people stopping by.
I think here's what I think. If I met somebody who owned the Brady Bunch house, I would say, that's awesome. You're the coolest. I wouldn't want to be that guy. I wouldn't want to be the awesome and cool guy who owned it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't need all those people stopping by.
Right.
But it is interesting that it is up for sale, so I wanted to mention that. And by the way, in this LA Times article, they also mentioned a couple of people who have owned other famous houses. For instance, the family that owns what was used as the exterior for Walter White's house on Breaking Bad.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Had so many unwanted visitors, including many who would go up to the door and want to see the house, that they put a fence around the property.
And didn't they throw pizza on the roof
because of that scene?
Many fans came by to recreate the famous scene in which Walter White tosses a pizza out of the roof of the home, which can't be fun. So there it is, you guys. It's up, up for sale. By the way, the father of the bride house, which was in Alhambra, recently sold for the asking price, and a compound in Venice that they used in the television show Californication sold for $14.6 million, setting a record for the area. And they think that was partly because of the notoriety of being in the television show.
In high school, I ran up the stairs of Allie with an I from Karate Kid's house. Remember her? She loved Danielson.
And they went
to golf and stuff. It was awesome. And then she had these stairs going up to her house in Encino, and I ran up those stairs.
How did you get into her house? Was she sleeping?
Oh, no, not in the house. No, it was the house where she lived in the movie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the stairs were outside.
Right.
Okay. I thought you went into her house and ran up her stairs.
That would be a much better story. I'll tell you that right now.
And it wouldn't surprise me at all knowing Allie. All right, so please enjoy.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know, I'm accustomed to a certain level of failure.
Oh, this sounds like the show for you, then.
Bean makes his guest on today's show. Muse stops by to join us at 7 a.m. with some new music. We have Michael Schneider here at Comic-Con talking about the Comic-Con TV panel. Some of them look fantastic.
Yeah, he's hosting an amazing one.
Yes, he is. Muggs was at the ESPYs last night. So we're going to get some of those highlights.
Oh, I hope you got Jim Kelly.
I do, too. It was awesome. Jim McLaughlin is going to be here on site talking about the Hero Initiative, a thing that's happening at Comic-Con. And we've also got Dr. Drew on the program as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 552, broadcasting live from the House of Blues in San Diego for Comic-Con.
Allie, you want to be the first to remind folks what San Diego means if they don't speak Spanish?
It's German for a whale's vagina.
There you go. Fun fact right there, you guys.
People here must hate that.
Oh,
right?
I assume.
They have to hate it, yeah. I am a little bit, I'm not going to lie to you here. I'm a little bit worried about our boy Stryker. We may need to check in on him. He has been very active on the Kevin Bean Afro Line lately.
Oh, wow.
He's been leaving some magical messages.
Yes, he has. So we'll visit that coming up right after 6. First, though, time for our first look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Well, Bean, you were talking about the Brady Bunch house. And would you want to live in that house with everybody coming up trying to take a picture? What about that house in San Francisco? The exterior of the Broderick Street house that Full House That's where they all lived.
That's about that's got to be about as famous as the Brady Bunch house, I would imagine, in terms of tourists wanting to get a photo and take it in front of it.
Absolutely. Well, now tour buses will no longer be swinging by that San Francisco home made famous in the popular 1990s sitcom Full House because neighbors complained about double parking, congestion outside the Victorian home, causing a bunch of hazards. So the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency voted yesterday to ban commercial vehicles. Wow.
Does it make me a bad person that I thought it would be funny if I owned that house and people were taking pictures all the time if I left the curtains open and just walked by nude a bunch?
Oh, no. That would be amazing. Absolutely. Right? It'd be like, is that Jesse? I can't tell.
Yeah, that's what they'd say.
It would be on them. I mean,
right?
You're in your own house.
My house, right?
Exactly.
What if you just pointed and you're like, you got it, dude. Sorry. Full House references right now, you guys. What's happening?
Cut it out.
Kevin bringing the heat.
Come on now. Is that heat?
No, not really. Okay. Hey, Bean, you saw the Springsteen on Broadway, right?
I did.
Would you then watch it if it came to Netflix?
I think I will.
Okay, well, good, because it is coming. It's a filmed version of Springsteen on Broadway. His acoustic one-man show, it clocks in at 2 hours, features 15 of his biggest musical hits, along with, it says here, lengthy life stories.
Really? I'm surprised. He's usually really concise.
Yes, absolutely.
It is as much talking as it is music.
Really?
Again, if folks haven't heard about this show, it's his autobiography, basically. He wrote a book called Born to Run, and he goes through and tells his life story and then segues in and out of songs that are applicable to that period in his life that he's talking about. So, yeah, it's a real Broadway, you know, spoken and music show. It's not a concert.
So it's his childhood, political awakening. He talks about the death of Clarence Clemens.
Right.
Marriage. Wow. That's a lot.
Of course, a lot about his parents and, you know, a lot about New Jersey. I mean, just everything you know from his songs now, you hear him talk about as well. And it's real, real good. Obviously, it's been acclaimed and it's been extended multiple times and every show is a sellout. But I think it's awesome that Netflix is picking it up so people who didn't get a chance to see it on Broadway can see it.
Absolutely. It, again, will be on Netflix on December 15th. And my friends, Michelle and Bonnie, went last night to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, nice.
It was his 100th show, and I have been to that show twice, and it's phenomenal. You know what I didn't get at either of those two shows?
What?
Bruce Springsteen showing up.
I'm sorry?
Bruce Springsteen showed up at Madison Square Garden last night and played with Billy Joel.
Wow.
That's unreal. I'm a little pissed.
You want your money back?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
You don't go to a Billy Joel concert expecting to see Born to Run, but that's what happened.
It's just insanity. Whew. Hey, if Dennis Rodman could bring anybody with him on his next trip to North Korea, who do you think he'd want to bring?
Who would he want to bring?
Oh. Is this a trick question or should we know this?
It's the worst possible answer.
Donald Trump.
Well, no. I think he could get there on his own.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
Trying to guess.
Yeah.
I give up.
Worst possible person.
He'd like to bring Kanye. He feels that Kanye is just doing amazing work around the world. If the doors open in September, and if he wants to make an album about that, he'll be there for like 6 to 7 days, and he'll see what's going on. Dennis. Dennis.
Is there a less likely person to have ever join the political world and get into North Korea and meet with a leader? What's happening?
It's insanity. And can you imagine Dennis Rodman, Kanye, and Kim Jong-un?
Yes. That would be awesome.
Let's play Mary F. Kill. No?
I want them to make a band together. That's what I want.
That would be pretty strong.
Man, it's all just insanity. I can't take it. Well, we're going to talk all sorts of ESPYs coming up in a bit, so I will leave it at that. Some birthdays for you, though. UFC's John Jones. He's still in the UFC?
I think he's on suspension right now.
Talking about maybe coming back?
Of course. It's Dana White. He'll welcome anyone back. Oh, you murdered someone last week? Cool. Let me know when you're feeling better. Just saying. Jared Padalecki, remember him? Supernatural?
Sure.
Wonderful. Brian May, remember him? Guitarist from Queen?
Sure.
Anthony Edwards from ER, sure. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Revenge of the Nerds. And a man that I always knew was a great actor. And then I saw him in Patrick Melrose on Showtime, and now I think he's the finest actor I've ever seen in my life, and I want him to win every single award, including the Pig's Trough at Farrell's. I don't even know if he could be up for that.
That's a hell of an award.
It's a hell
I'll
of an
fight
award.
Him for that one.
Yeah, you will.
How about that thing where he rolls down a hill and there's a cheese wheel?
The big cheese wheel. Well, it is in England, so Benedict Cumberbatch, happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
Guys, less than 1 hour from right now, a brand new song from a band we love called Muse. We've seen a teaser, acoustic and electric version on the Instagram page, but we're going to hear the whole thing at 7 a.m. straight up this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. The new song is called Something Human. And our friends in Muse are going to be joining us in studio as well. That's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
So we're in San Diego, and we're broadcasting from the House of Blues for Comic-Con. And I got in yesterday afternoon and checked in. Mm-hmm. Probably took me 3 minutes. And okay. They were very helpful. They said, mm-hmm. Would you like an upgrade for free? Sure.
Oh,
okay, no
wow.
problem. Yeah, better view? Great.
Sir. Really?
Yeah, here's some food vouchers. Here's free internet. Go mm-hmm. ahead and take it. Take everything and have fun. Okay. And I was in my room 4 minutes after I started the process.
Oh. Did they offer you the turndown and the handy?
Yes, that's it. I mean, that's included. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
That.
Now, you bring that up. Why, Kevin?
Allie?
I had a different experience. apparently, when I was checking in, everyone was checking in and checking out. So I got in the line that was about 50 deep. Finally get up. The gentleman that helped me was so lovely. Okay, here's your room. Here's everything. Great. So I go up to the room, about a mile trek, I feel. Put the key in. Nothing.
Oh.
Then I'm like, okay, well, I got two keys because obviously I leave one in a purse. I get confused. Same. When I drink. What? So second key I put in. Nothing. I'm like, I have to walk all that way again. Oh, no. So I'm walking, and then by the elevators, there's a phone. So I call downstairs, and I said, hi, my key isn't working for this room. Can you send somebody? And they're like, yeah, we'll send security. What's it doing? And I said, it's doing a yellow flashing light. Okay, try it again. And I'm like, well, I'd have to walk back to the room. Can you hold? And she's like, sure. I'm like, oh, I was kidding, but okay. So then security comes about 10 minutes later, and he's like, wow, this is really weird. Uses his own key. We walk into a room that was currently in use.
All right.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa.
Where's your porn music, Chip?
We need to get
seriously.
Out of here.
Seriously. So they gave you a room that the last folks hadn't checked out of yet.
Right, right.
And nice. That's why your key didn't work.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. So I head back downstairs and...
Well, hold on. What was going on in this room with these other people? Was it worth sticking around?
I didn't okay. wait to see. All no, right.
You
I
didn't
wasn't...
see the people? You just
oh, no,
saw their stuff?
There were people in the bed.
Oh, there were?
Yeah,
okay.
I could see feet.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
It was insanity.
Were the feet moving?
No. Oh, my God. Murder. So I
oh,
wind
I was
up,
thinking
oh.
sex.
Oh.
She went straight for murder.
That's where your minds go.
What's happening?
So we go back downstairs, and the manager of the hotel... When I was first in line, he goes, you're next. And I just looked at him and I went, I am pumped. And just kind of joking around with him. So I walk back down and I see him and I said, hi, this is what happened. He goes, oh, God, let me handle it. So he goes to handle it. Mm-hmm. I've had to pee now for not that kind of handle
okay.
it. I've had to pee for over 2 hours.
Okay.
So I just run to the bathroom thinking he's not going to come out in that time.
Right.
I then go back and stand there. He's nowhere to be found. I then see him come out with someone else, and they start walking towards the restaurant. And I'm like, sir, sir. And he goes, I came right back out to look for you. And I said this, sir, I had to pee.
Now you're yelling in the lobby
now
of the hotel?
I'm grumpy with this man that's trying to help me. He was lovely. He then said, I'm walking you up to your room to make sure this works. Give me your bags. So he takes my bags. Mm-hmm. We go up.
And then he says, can I come in?
Play that music, yeah. And then he puts the key in, and I'm like, yeah, that fits.
Yes.
And we open the door, we go in, and he goes, I upgraded you. You now have a balcony.
Oh, look at that.
For your troubles. And all I was, right. I immediately, you know me, like if I'm even the slightest bit snotty to someone, mm. I think about it all day.
You feel terrible.
So for the rest of the day, I was like, oh. I mean, should I send Darren, like, flowers? Like, what do? When you snapped at someone and yelled, I had to pee. Yeah.
Right? So? There's the answer.
There's a way to repay him.
Sure.
All right.
Did.
So was it worth the inconvenience and the bladder trouble to get upgraded ultimately and end up with a nicer room with a view?
I mean, talking about bladder trouble, right, Darren? Yeah. I'm sorry. Inappropriate. No, my room is awesome. It overlooks the marina. I have a balcony. It's wonderful. I feel bad.
Of course. Yeah. Well, all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
All right, so Allie's fine. Kevin's fine. Now let's check in on Stryker. How's he doing, you guys?
Stryker has issues. And here's what I'll say about him. Nicest guy in the world.
Ever.
We're changing buildings for K-Rock, and so everybody else that used to be in this building is gone. So when Stryker works, it's just him. He's by himself.
He's alone in the entire building.
He has no one to talk to. So he gets a little stir crazy, and he left. He called the Afro line and left us a couple of messages. We thought you would like to hear from Stryker on the Afro line.
Hello? Hello, Kevin? Allie, Bean, are you guys there? It's Stryker. I don't know if the beep went off. I just wanted to let you guys know on the Afro line because I got no one to call. I'm still down the rabbit hole. I'm on the rabbit hole and the Amazon pills that were delivered, and I feel so good. It's like Tez candy. The mouth opens up and I just toss it right in, and it's so good. All right, so the other day I went snorkeling in the Pacific Ocean. I wasn't even that cold, and as I'm floating above the water, down below me, I saw a turtle. And you guys know I love lizards. They get on the heat square. There's a turtle, but not like an eighth grade science turtle. This was the biggest turtle I've ever seen. So as I'm floating above this turtle, and I can't even believe this turtle is there. You guys have no idea how happy I was in the ocean at this point. The turtle, as I'm existing in his universe, looks at me and winked at me. A turtle winked at me.
That's just not true.
Man.
That's just not true.
I had a turtle wink at me yesterday. Yay!
So dumb.
So right, true. So he left that message, and then he wasn't finished, so he called back.
Hello? Are you guys? Yeah, that was just, I mean, that was incredible, that turtle. Man. But have you ever had anything wink at you? Years ago, a Volkswagen Beetle winked at me.
All right, hold on. Hold on. What? What's happening?
First of all, I need to tell you, Bean, you missed this, but when he talked about those Amazon pills, he talked about that one day on the show where he was getting pills sent to him, but then Amazon sent him different pills, so he just decided to take them.
And he felt great.
And he feels great. They give him a ton of energy, so now he gets those pills all the time, and he has no idea what they are. Absolutely, it's speed.
I'm not sure Amazon sells speed.
It's something. It is something.
So now he's changed stories from getting winked at by a turtle in the ocean to getting winked at by a car.
Right.
A car winked at me! It was so... I never forget about that. And when that turtle winked, I thought about the Volkswagen Beetle car, which is not the Ted Bundy one in Florida, the serial killer. But this, I'll tell you where I was at. The Bel Air ShopEasy supermarket. I was 13 years old. My mom and I went there. She's like, wait in the car. I'm going to go get us sandwiches. I love sandwiches. I still love sandwiches. Beetle pulled right in front of my car where I was sitting by myself, turned off the lights. I saw the owner get out of this car, this Beetle. And all of a sudden, one headlight winked at me. It also had the 53. I know it was like the Herbie Goes Banana movie, whatever that called, Disney movies. I don't know anything about Disney movies. I go to Disneyland. I get pineapple whips. I don't know anything about the characters. Wow. I know there's a duck and a dog with long ears. Anyway, yeah. So a turtle winked at me and a VW Beetle. That's it. Down the rabbit hole I go. Goodbye, Kevin and Bean and Allie McKay. You guys are,
We're what? I didn't hear what we were. Did he end that?
He lost some momentum there at the end.
That's our friend Stryker. The number is 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Oh, that's me. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Bean Show at 23 minutes after 6.
I was trying to think, should I jump in? But then I'll step on him because Kevin knows he'll come out of the song. I didn't know what to do there.
To be fair, he found the parfait.
I did, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We had Sam, the Armenian comedian, record a version of that song, which is gold. I mean, we're giving you people gold. And we tweeted it out from the Kevin and Bean account and on the Facebook account as well.
If you want to hear the whole song, and no one has ever heard the whole song,
well,
so we don't even know, we don't even know how it is.
See how far you can get through it before you're forced to quit.
It is fairly torturous. I made it about 20 seconds in. All right, lots of Comic-Con guests coming up today and tomorrow live from San Diego. By the way, if you're listening on the way down and you get to San Diego before 10 a.m., swing on by and say hi. The House of Blues is where we are. It's pretty easy to find, right?
Yeah, it's on C and 5th.
All right, C and 5th. So swing on by and see the show either today or tomorrow if you're coming down for Comic-Con. First, though, how about a little Bean Makes His Guess?
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes.
I don't know why penis slapping has to be part of this.
Stop complaining every time, man.
Beer Mug is here. Allie is here. Kevin is here. You guys are all going to be playing against each other. This is a fascinating list if you haven't already seen it, because it does make news every year when the Forbes Celebrities Who Made the Most Money Last Year list comes out. These are international celebrities. The Celebrity 100 ranking they've been doing for over 20 years, by the way. And a couple of fun facts about this year. First of all, there are countries, there's 17 different countries represented, from the U.S. and U.K. to Portugal to Ireland to Brazil to Argentina, Spain and India, and so many more. So people all over the world are making lots and lots of money. The minimum on this list, number 100 on the list, made $35 million last year.
Holy crap.
All top 11 on the list made over $100 million last year.
Oh my. What's happening?
Now we're talking some cash. And I'll also give you this hint as we prepare to play the game, that there are two actors in the top 10, one who made more money just from acting than any actor ever last year, and another who made more money from acting and other business opportunities than any actor ever last year. So if you want to think about those in the back of your mind, that maybe give you some hints on who you want to pick. So I have the top 20 up in front of me right now. We're going to be looking. How many can you name in the top 10 of the highest paid celebrities in 2017? Kevin, you're up first.
Joe Jonas.
I'm sorry. Come on. He's very popular and awfully cute, but Joe Jonas is not that well paid, I'm sorry to say. Beer Mug.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, yeah. He's the actor who made $124 million last year, which, by the way, not much of a surprise considering he has a new movie out every single weekend.
He was in 124 movies.
He was. He is number 5 on the list. Well done, Muggs. You are on the board. Miss Ellen McKay.
Floyd Mayweather.
Well, only number 1. Floyd Mayweather, because of the Conor McGregor fight, made $285 million last year.
Last year alone?
Yes. And I'd be willing to bet that almost all of that, if not all of it, was from that one night. That fight made $600 million or something.
$100, I think he got out of that or something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Floyd Mayweather, number 1, the highest paid celebrity in the world last year. All right, well done. Kevin, you're up.
Kelly Clarkson.
Nope. Come on, Kevin.
I thought I had it.
It's like you're not trying.
Good guess, though. All right, Muggsy.
Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, now you're not even trying.
What?
No,
come on.
That's funny to me because
what?
I'm trying to be funny. Muggs is trying to guess.
In what universe is Mark Wahlberg?
What about, like, the Wahlburgers and all that other crap that he does? Right. And, like, he has a
what
steak.
What about the burgers, guys?
Yeah.
Think about the burger.
And then
right?
he has, like, a.
How much does he make per burger, do you think, Muggs?
It's probably, like, $5. But
yeah.
then he has,
that
like,
up.
He has a steak in the UFC. I mean.
Okay, let me ask you this,
well,
Muggs.
So does Conan O'Brien.
On a list, really? On a list where Paul McCartney is 51st, where do you think Mark Wahlberg's going to be?
50th.
No, I'm sorry. No Wahlbergers on this list. Allie McKay, you can take the lead here if you get this one.
I would never, ever bring up this family other than this was from Forbes last week, that Kylie Jenner made a boatload.
Kylie Jenner is number 3.
Oh, no!
She is 20 years old, you guys. She is soon to become the world's youngest, well, they claim, you could argue, self-made billionaire. $166.5 million last year.
Wow. Holy cow!
$166.5 million. Now, Allie, you're into the ladies' beauty products.
Mm-hmm.
Her stuff is legit. It's not just popular because it's her. People like it, right?
Oh no, people line up for those lip kits. People love them. Yeah.
Kylie Jenner, by the way, making more money than anyone in the world except for two people in the world of entertainment.
Wow.
Kevin, you're up.
William Hung.
Why?
You know, he did some touring, didn't he?
Why do we even go to you?
I know he played with Chip's band, so I just figured.
Muggs,
a guy who
a chance to redeem yourself.
I'm gonna try here. A guy who's also in a lot of movies, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart is not in the top 20. I'm sure he did well last year, but not well enough. Allie, please.
See, I'm trying to think of people that did things that maybe we know about but don't think about that get them a lot of money.
Okay.
What about a tequila company that brings in zillions of dollars, Mr. George Clooney? Oh.
Let me tell you that George Clooney last year sold that tequila company, and that's why he is number two on this list.
I am good.
$239 million last year.
Wow.
George Clooney, the most money an actor has ever made in one year. It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Insane.
All right, so you're telling me that Allie has won the game is what you're telling me. So let me just...
Get another guest.
Yeah, let's go again.
Oh, one more round.
One more. I got to redeem myself.
All right, I'm curious to see who Kevin is going to come up with after William Hung.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Okay. Get off my phone. Get off my phone.
Worst.
All right, Bugs. Slay me.
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre is not on the list. I'm sorry. Not in the top 20. Allie McKay.
It's got to be a big tour. So either like a U2 if they're on it, or a Coldplay if they're on it.
You don't get multiple guesses.
Coldplay.
Well, U2 is number six and Coldplay is number seven, so you really couldn't have gone wrong with that.
Damn it.
My guess is that Allie has seen the list.
Yeah.
How have you seen the list? I can't even log on to Forbes.
Boo!
Collusion.
All right, well, we named almost
no all... collusion with one L.
We named almost all of them, but here's the top 10 as it shakes out according to Forbes. The world's highest paid celebrities from 2017. Number one, Floyd Mayweather. Number two, George Clooney. Three, Kylie Jenner. Number four, Kevin, you won't be surprised. It's your girlfriend, Dr. Judy.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. Yeah.
Of course. She makes a ton of dough.
$147 million last year.
I love
it. Then it was
so
Dwayne
much.
Johnson. Then it was U2. Then it was Coldplay. Then a young soccer player named Lionel Messi at number eight.
Come on, Kevin.
Only my hero.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran at number nine.
But I went with the how about that girl? I figured that was
how much did Ed Sheeran make?
He made $110 million last year.
Damn.
Cristiano Ronaldo was at number 10, by the way.
Mm.
And then if you're curious, just a few more. Bruno Mars, Conor McGregor, Neymar, Howard Stern, and Ellen DeGeneres. So there's your top 15. And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from the House of Blues in San Diego for Comic-Con at 6:38.
Muse will be here in 21 minutes, you guys, with their brand new song called Something Human. We'll be playing it for you and talking to the guys on the way here on K-Rock. So, Allie, you got very excited and also, I imagine, frustrated because you weren't able to watch it yet. It hadn't aired on the West Coast, but you saw Danica Patrick's name blowing up right after 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Trending immediately.
And not in a good way.
No, it was not.
She was the host of this year's ESPYs, and she was the first woman who has ever hosted, and... I don't know if that had something to do with it. Are people in general, especially on the internet, are a lot tougher on women being funny than men being funny.
Yeah,
but I think it was unfair. Look.
You do.
I do. And I watched almost the whole show. I probably saw everything but about 15 minutes of it. And she's a race car driver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't expect her to be Tiffany Haddish when she gets out there.
Right.
She's not a professional joke teller.
Right. My suggestion is don't pick her as a host.
Well, they always pick an athlete, you know? I mean, and you can look at a guy like Peyton Manning who can be very funny in a Papa John's commercial, although probably never will be again with what's been going on. But you don't expect him to be Kevin Hart when he gets out on stage doing it. He's going to be Peyton Manning being Peyton Manning, right?
No, Peyton Manning hosting, and this is me saying this, is funny. There are certain people that are personable and can handle that, even in interviews with Danica Patrick, there's no sense of humor. There's
no
self-deprecation. There's nothing there. So to expect that of her, it's tough.
I like I said, I'm not saying she's the greatest comedian ever. I'm saying I think she was fine for an athlete hosting a show. And she did do some tape bits beyond the monologue later in the show that were pretty funny. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the parody of I, Tanya she did called Me, Danica. It was very funny.
Okay.
There was a rap bit that they did that our friend Jensen wrote, by the way, that was very funny. But let me bring you some highlights or lowlights. You be the judge of jokes from the monologue. And you'll see that her delivery is a little stilted, but I don't think the material is that bad. And I think she did the best she could. Here's a couple for you.
Speaking of other countries, congratulations to France on winning the World Cup. I'd make a joke about the U.S. soccer team, but they didn't qualify for this monologue.
Okay, that is not a good delivery.
It's the delivery, and there are some pauses. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, these are good jokes. It's the secondhand cringe.
That's not good.
No.
For those unfamiliar, curling is the sport where you are allowed to kneel. Totally, it's encouraged. That's right. We have to mention the elephant in the room. It's time to talk about the national anthem controversy.
And up behind her goes a picture of Fergie singing that ill-fated national anthem.
Oh, man.
I don't know what Fergie was thinking either.
I mean, again, you're right. The delivery's not great.
No.
But does it...
I'm done it right there. I put a period after the delivery's not great.
But, Ali, you saw how brutal people were online last night.
Yeah, I thought obviously, it went too far. And the jokes were good. It was the delivery. It was the pauses. I did laugh at the LeBron...
We'll get there.
But, you know, we all have bad days. Speaking of, Tiger Woods is back. Sort of, I guess. I mean, you know, why do people keep talking about this guy when he isn't winning? Who does he think he is? Me?
By the way, the audience is not down either in the room.
Oh, no. They are visibly angry. At one point, Chris Long mouths, he says the words, but you can see what he's saying. He went, "This is bad."
You know, they always try to look for shots of people in the audience who are laughing.
Sure.
And it was pretty uncomfortable.
How many of those did
they find? So many big NBA moves this offseason. Kawhi Leonard went to the Raptors. Dwight Howard went to the Wizards. And Ben Simmons went to the Kardashians.
All right, that was the first
that
one where
good.
She... That was a good joke, but yeah. She also, I felt... I think they were booing the content rather than the delivery. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that they were on her side a little bit for that one about Ben Simmons dating Kendall, right? I think this is where we get to LeBron.
But who are we kidding? The biggest offseason pickup was LeBron James. I would ask you if you're excited, but I can tell you are. I mean, who doesn't love LeBron James? He's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And now LeBron is the newest Los Angeles transplant. Los Angeles transplant is also what he Googles when he needs new hair.
And right there is where she lost.
Okay, honestly.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's not bad. That's horrible.
It was bad, but
it was horrible.
The joke after.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, LeBron, when he hosted, he made fun of me, too. I'd say we're even. J.R. Smith would say we're up by one.
Funny.
That's a funny joke.
That's
I think that's
real,
a funny joke.
And the delivery there was actually pretty good.
So Danica didn't have a great night. Kevin, how was your night watching the ESPYs crying alone in your hotel room in San Diego?
I don't know the story of Jim Kelly that well, the former quarterback for the Bills. Mm-hmm. But he got the Jimmy V Award for perseverance, and they showed his story. And he took his team to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and lost 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
And then he had a son, and he said his entire world turned around. And then his son got a disease and ended up living about 8.5 years, never said a word, always had to be on oxygen 24/7.
Yeah.
And somehow he and his wife sort of kept going and kept going. Then he got cancer in his jaw. Then he got cancer again in his jaw. He beat it both times. Mm-hmm. Now he's got it a third time. And it was just devastating.
Yeah.
They give him the award. He gets up on stage and he starts giving a speech, and it's an inspirational speech.
Yeah.
Like, I did start crying a little bit because it was really super emotional, and I didn't know that story. And now he's being inspirational by giving a speech saying, anyone can make anyone else's life better. Do that. And it was amazing. I was 5 minutes before that, I hated the ESPYs.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, that was fantastic.
They do a great job at stuff like that.
They really do, and that was impressive.
They have the Arthur Ashe Award, and they have a bunch of other. I mean, and they did a piece last night. Allie, you're going to fall in love with this guy. I can't remember his name now, but he was a Wisconsin Badger who went out, and he started Team Rubicon after he played football at the University of Wisconsin. He forwent, is that the word, his fifth-year eligibility and joined the Marines, was in the Marines for 4 years. And then he saw all the disasters and tragedies, especially with weather and war around the world. And he started this Team Rubicon and goes around the world. And, like, he goes to Puerto Rico after a hurricane and stays there for months helping people and cleaning up and doing everything like that. And he's got 80,000 people working with him now. Started with eight dudes, eight veterans. Now there's 80,000 people going around the world, including in America, places like Houston that need it. And you talk about inspirational. You would have fallen in love with this dude.
Yeah, that was amazing too.
He wasn't hard to look at.
No, he's an amazing guy. And he's a babe.
He looked like the freaking bachelor, you know?
Hot thing for me to say.
His wife that's pregnant, they showed her in the audience. She used to be a weatherwoman on KABC.
Really?
No kidding.
Absolutely. Lovely SoCal girl with Latvian roots.
What's happening right now?
I don't know. I did a deep dive because I was like, this couple is hot.
Well, it was a tough few minutes for Danica Patrick, but overall, the ESPYs was a pretty good show if you get a chance to check it out. We'll be back with Muse at the top of the hour. Allie's What's Happening Next on K-Rock.
Broadcasting live from San Diego at the House of Blues. It is 6:53 and time for What's Happening.
You know, I love me a James Bond. I'm so into those movies.
Oh, man.
I've seen two.
Which is two ahead of where you were a month ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, what did I see? I saw a Casino one.
Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
Honestly, I assumed if it's a list of two, you would know.
And then the one where the guy was all, ooh, you're dead now in the bed. You're gold.
Goldfinger.
Yes.
I mean, gold is in the title.
It sure is.
It's a great game.
I'm all dead gold. Dead in a bed gold. And I love me a theme song. So we might now know who is doing the next James Bond theme song.
Now, this is quite an honor, and it is always a very, very big deal if you get tapped to do this. So this is very exciting news.
Right. Are you going to guess? Or do you even have a favorite of all of them?
Well, we've done that topic on the air before, and I still contend that the greatest James Bond theme of all time is Live and Let Die. From Paul McCartney Wings.
Okay.
But I'm not going to lie to you when I tell you that Skyfall by Adele is probably also in my top two or three.
Yeah.
So there's a long history of those songs.
What about the Sheena Easton one?
For Your Eyes Only?
Yeah.
Only decent. Nope. I don't really need a soft adult contemporary ballad for my Bond theme. I like something with a little bit more energy, perhaps.
Correct. Okay.
What's your favorite, Kevin?
One of them. I like the Adele one. I thought that was great.
Yeah, Skyfall was great. Can I interest you in Dua Lipa performing
the next way? Okay.
Yeah, stay on target.
That's an odd choice.
Yeah, and it may not actually be real because this occurred during an interview with the BBC. A band called Years and Years, Mike Goldworthy, may have let the cat out of the bag. He said, I thought they'd ask us to do the theme song, but alas, it's Dua Lipa. Am I not supposed to say that? That's what I heard. I feel bad now. Maybe I've ruined everything. I think he's just poking a little fun with the BBC, right? Because obviously they're not going to ask Years and Years to do it because... Who the hell is Years and Years?
They're very popular in Britain.
I mean, besides who they are,
right?
Being popular and great.
How about A View to a Kill, Allie, by Duran Duran?
Yes.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
That was a great one.
Yeah, I like that one too.
All right, I'll accept it. Would you guys like to see, to me, the best Batman in theaters?
Would we like to see to you what?
That didn't make sense.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Let me do a flowchart.
Okay.
Would you like to see the movie that was to me the best Batman back in theaters?
Sure. Are you following this, Bean?
Barely. Okay. I'm really just hanging on by my fingernails.
So you're asking us if we want to come to the movie in a theater that you liked from before?
Yeah, the theater I liked from before.
No.
And we have to go to the movies with you for some reason?
All right, you know what? Here's the thing. Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan's groundbreaking take on the Batman franchise, is going to be re-released in four different cities for the film's 10th anniversary. It's a one-week engagement in 70mm starting August 24th. So check out IMAX in Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Toronto. They will all be playing The Dark Knight on their giant screens to mark the milestone anniversary.
I would like to watch
Airtight. Airtight.
What was that?
Airtight.
It is airtight. It is indeed airtight. For the love of God.
Hey, Allie.
Hey.
You going to be hanging out with Conan tonight?
Oh, my God.
Conan O'Brien's here in San Diego. He does his show from Comic-Con each year.
Yeah, he does. He's like the prodigal son returning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just you seem a little all over the place today. A little spaced out, maybe.
Yeah, more so than usual. Absolutely.
Is it you can't imagine what you're going to wear and what you might possibly say to him if you meet him?
I'm not going to meet him. That's
She refuses to meet
him. Absolutely.
What if you have the opportunity? What if Dave could hook it up?
No. Well, A, no, you can't. But B, no, I'm going to a taping and I'm just going to sit there and I'm just going to take it in.
But you're going to be in the same room as Conan O'Brien. We heard it. Your all-time crush.
Yeah, I love him so much.
What if he says, "Hey, let's talk to the audience. What's your name?"
Oh my God! No.
What do you mean? No. Just say your name. He doesn't have to know your obsession with him.
No, I can't. I'm thirsty right now.
What is?
Would you like to have a photo, a selfie of you and Conan that you can use on your social media forever?
Oh my God!
You and Conan together.
No. First of all, we wouldn't even show up in the picture. They'd be like, "We can't use a flash with these two albinos." It's just Just now, I'm sweating. I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
Okay, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, now I'm freaked out. I'm literally sweating.
Dave, we got to set it up. We got to figure out a way for Allie to meet Conan tonight.
No.
Let's make it happen.
Let's not.
All right. We got Muse coming up here next.
All right, some birthdays for you. Anthony Edwards, Brian May.
If he says, "Hey, I'd like a selfie."
Oh, my God.
If he says, "I want a selfie of us."
I'd be like, "You're a lying sack, Conan O'Brien."
Okay. I'm sure you would.
Jared Padalecki, Benedict Cumberbatch, and UFC's John Jones. That's what's happening.
Brand new music from Muse. That's called Something Human. Oh, that's a nice golf clap there, dude.
Right? Oh, thank you. Very polite.
I think that's a warm response to the new song for first year, I think.
Sure.
And speaking of the band Muse, Matt and Dom, welcome back.
Thank you. Hey. Thanks for having us.
We have so many questions about Something Human. We have so many questions about so many things, but I think we're missing someone, and I'm not talking about Chris. Where the hell is your dog?
Floyd's in London right now.
Floyd's in London.
He's actually in London. I've been spending a bit of time
there. He just
he's on holiday.
He's on holiday. He went to go and watch the World Cup.
Now he's sad.
Now he's like just down, like along with everyone else in England right now.
He needs some time to process his feelings before he can go back out with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's not like we're not happy to see you. We are, but we were in it for Floyd.
I think last time he was here, he had his cone on his head.
He did.
He just had the balls off, but now he's totally recovered.
I'm actually a little concerned with why Floyd isn't here now. I mean, he came in just having his boys cut off. Right? Now he's not here.
Now he's gone.
What's going on?
How does Floyd fly? Is he an easy dog to get back-to-back to country to country?
He's got a G5, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a better life than all of us.
He's actually a pilot now. So he just flies
off. All right.
That's impressive.
All right. So no Floyd, no peace, but we're going to press on anyway. Let's talk about Something Human since we just heard it. And I mean, I guess the first thing I thought is, this is really different from Muse, right? Yeah. Is that the kind of the reaction you're getting from people?
Yeah, I mean, we throw out curveballs every now and again. This song was a kind of acoustic-based song. You know, it's the first time I've written a song on the acoustic guitar for 15 years at least. And something about getting out the acoustic, it just makes you sort of get a bit more sort of heart on the sleeve and more personal, more intimate with what you're singing about and stuff. So really it was kind of a basic me on acoustic guitar, but then we found ways to kind of enhance it and sort of add bits of, you know, add band parts to it and sort of electronic bits and stuff. And it's definitely different for us. It's up-tempo, it's light, it's kind of lightweight in tone, so... And it's our soft side, I'd say.
It is your soft side.
What made you go back to the acoustic guitar?
I think... I've done a lot of interviews over the years where people say, oh, you know, they talk about how we do everything on such a big scale and sort of over the top and crazy and stuff. And I've always said, like, yeah, I'd love to do something a bit more stripped down. and but I never actually have done it until now. You know,
okay.
I mean, this is kind of stripped down, I'd say. I mean, when you hear, obviously, the just me on the acoustic, on the album, there'll also be just a straight acoustic version as well.
I was going to ask, because you already put up an acoustic version on your Instagram.
Yeah, that's just like a little live thing of me in the studio mucking about, but...
That's just you mucking about.
Right?
I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. But it's... Yeah, I'd say, I mean, in terms of the new album we're working on, this is probably the softest kind of side of it, do you know what I mean? And it's been a while since, I can't remember the last time we put out, like, a song as a single that was really kind of that sort of laid back.
And Dom, what did you think when you heard it the first time?
Hard to play drums on.
Yeah, well,
it's
I mean...
It's one of the busiest drum parts, isn't it?
Well, it's in there, but, I mean, I think I just liked the song a lot because it was literally, like, the first thing I heard was really just Matt playing the guitar and kind of singing it. So it was a case of, like, you know, how are we going to do this? But, yeah, I just really liked the song, so we just kind of figured out how to, you know, turn it into what it is. And we didn't know whether to, like, keep it really stripped back, but we often can't help ourselves in the studio, so we've ended up kind of sticking a load of sci-fi
robots and
synths and weird stuff on it, you know, which is
Well, many people have said that, the sign of a good song, no matter how great the production is can you just play it on a guitar or just play it on a piano?
Right.
And
true,
it's still great, and then you've got a well-written song.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a very traditional song for us, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything about it, the chordal structures, the melodies, and the kind of the... Yeah, you can just play it on acoustic, it just sounds like, you know...
I think this is a good time for Chris and for Dom to take a little walk off stage, get a little drink, something, while you're out there performing the song.
Oh, I love that. The song is now available everywhere you get songs. It is released, it's Into the Wild, and the video is out as well. And as simple as the song is, the video is the very opposite of that.
What is going on? With
be any wilder.
Seriously.
We wanted to do something. I mean, we're talking about the video. The idea had come up, but we're like, shall we do it? Is it really going to work with a song? And I just thought, well, yeah, it's so different to the way the song sounds.
Sort of the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, let's just do it. So I think it adds a nice dynamic to it.
Matt's driving a Lamborghini. I can buy that.
Yeah, yeah. Turning into a wolf.
You as a cop, I don't.
That's a sexy cop, by the way. I'd like to point out.
I'm not positive
I can buy that.
It looks like you're on your way to play Chris? A bachelorette party.
Chris, I can buy.
Man.
Chris, Chris with the bazooka. Did you buy that?
I did buy that. The bazooka was pretty cool. Yeah. I wondered if it was a real thing.
I'm just a cop. Yeah.
But, sexy cop.
A cop.
Don't
a
take
cop.
Anything
cop.
Away from sexy cop.
Yeah, right. Definitely a sexy cop.
I didn't see it that way, but you know, however you want to see it, it's fine.
And it looks like the craziest sci-fi movie you've ever seen. Is there really a Lambo? Are you really driving a Lambo, Matt, or is it all computer
effects?
Well,
at the end of the Thought Contagion video, that was a real Lambo that I got out of. I pulled up in that and got out of it. And then we've got that same one, and essentially that was on a green screen. I mean, so everything inside the car is me inside a real Lambo from the early 80s. I was basically reliving my Cannibal Run fantasy.
Yeah.
Did you also really turn into like a wolf beast?
For real. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
All right, just making sure everything was above board.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is visually stunning. I mean, it really is unbelievable what they can do these days. But I mean, it's just like hearing the song for the first time. You look at it and go, wow, that's something. That's a zag, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we're loving that visual style. We're going to sort of stick with this and build a world around it for the whole album, you know. So regardless of what the sort of song style is, we're going to sort of stick with this kind of look. And it's kind of for us reconnecting with all the films we grew up loving when we were in the early 80s.
Teen Wolf.
Yeah, Teen Wolf, Blade Runner,
Cannibal Run.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Is there an album?
Yes, there
going to be an album?
We're finishing it right now. This next week or two, we're finishing the mixing, and there's one song we've just got to do some more recording on that's nearly done. We've got 11 tracks in the bag. It's gonna it's going to be a great album. 11 tracks on the album, then we're going to do like 7 or 8 extra tracks, which are going to be sort of acoustic or alternate versions of the songs.
Oh, wonderful.
Which will be interesting. For example, like Dig Down, for example, on the album, there's going to be really cool... acoustic version with a gospel choir, which is really different.
Different
to the original. But then the album's got a lot of harder rock on it as well. It's got the usual stuff. So we're excited about it.
But it's coming out.
There is an album, and it's coming out
in November.
In November.
November.
So it is actually happening.
Is it difficult for you to finish mixing and say, okay, we're done? We can't tinker anymore.
I'd say it's more difficult finishing the recording process.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, you can always try things or try different directions. And actually what's cool though with this album is you're going to hear, like, as I said, two versions of the same song sometimes. You know, as I said, like acoustic strip version or even a sort of more kind of ethereal, dreamy version, and then the hard rock version or the full band version. So it rather than get caught up in doing finishing touches, we've actually put both versions of the song on the album, which is quite cool.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
All right, you guys, it's Muse. They're here. We just played the new song. We'll talk more about that and future touring plans, so much more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Hey, it's Muse, you guys, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Matt, Dom, how you feeling?
Good. Yeah,
excellent.
We are so excited that you're here because, we just had the premiere of the brand-new song, Something Human, talking about the new album coming out in November, which is wonderful news. But also, within the last couple of weeks, you had the big drones experience in the movie theater, and a bunch of us here at K-Rock went to see it. So
yeah,
congratulations
that was awesome.
On that.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, cool.
How was it?
It was great.
You should see it, Dom. It's real good.
It was really great because they did use a lot of the visuals that you guys have on stage.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it. Have you not seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, you're just
joking. I'm just seeing whether you liked it or not.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And also the sound was great. That's what I was hoping for when I went to a movie.
That's tough in the cinema, to get the live sound.
I thought it sounded great, but I went to Ant-Man and the Wasp with my daughter first.
Yeah.
And so then I bought tickets for your movie. So then I went to your movie after. I only saw about 3/4 of it. So the way I figure it, you guys owe me about 25% of my ticket.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you saying you skipped theaters and now it's Muse's fault that you didn't see their whole movie?
No, I bought tickets to their movie.
Okay.
And then didn't see it all, so I'm just looking for a reimbursement.
Oh, that sounds like a personal problem to me.
Okay,
right. Free tickets anytime.
When you're filming this, you actually have in the arena drones flying all around you while you're playing, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Not at all distracting, right?
One of them took out Chris, didn't it? Do you remember that time?
One landed on Chris's head once.
Is that right?
It was a little distracting.
It was the most Spinal Tap tour in terms of malfunctions. It was beyond belief, yeah. Like the big one that came out took Chris out once and it collapsed and broke onto the crowd. In Mexico, like half the crowd managed to grab the drones and pull them into the crowd, rip them apart and all this kind of stuff.
So excellent.
So we had like trucks of backup drones the whole time because
they didn't
survive that long. But it was a great tour though, yeah. It was fun. It was like we used this brand new technology at the time, which was autonomous drones flying around and staying within a virtual space in the arena. And it was so they really were sort of behaving independently, which is they had a mind of their own. That's like,
that is
fascinating.
It
was really cool and really great. I love it.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
And I read a lot when the thing came out. It was in theaters for one night only, July 12th. And before I ask my question, I assume at some point it'll have some sort of wider availability for those who didn't get to see it that one night, right?
I mean, I don't know. We haven't got any plans to. I guess maybe eventually it'll turn up on some streaming service somewhere,
maybe, or something like that.
But I mean, obviously, no one does DVDs anymore or anything like that, you know. So,
yeah. My question was then, I read a lot about augmented reality, meaning that you were then able to go back and take the footage of the shows that you shot and then even keep working on them after that and add stuff, right?
We kind of felt like doing a live show, just a standard live show capture is kind of, we've done that a lot already, so why not enhance the show with special effects in a way that we wanted it to be? Now, when we first had those drones floating around, the idea was to have white smoke in them and then project images onto the white smoke.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then obviously when we tried it in rehearsals, it didn't really come off properly, you know, so it just looked like, you know, so we ended up, when you actually had a concert, you just saw the drones flying around with, like, you know, different colours on them and things like that. But when we actually came to do the film, we thought, well, why not put in the visuals that we actually wanted to happen inside the drones as they were supposed to be? Yeah.
So I just want to ask a follow-up then. You did all of that work for this movie for one night, and you're not sure if you're going to release it for anything else?
I'm sure. I mean, is it coming out in any other way, Gail? I don't know. I can't remember.
It will be.
Yeah, I'm sure it will at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gail doesn't let you say anything anyway, so why do you ask? I don't know why you even bother asking. You mentioned the World Cup and how sad Floyd your dog is. Did you guys have any thought whatsoever of going to the World Cup, going to see them in Russia? Because I feel like you could pull that off.
Yeah, no, when England were in the quarterfinal, and as in the semifinal, so I thought, I was going to say, if they won and they were going to get the final, I was going to fly to
the World Cup. So, semifinal, not big enough for you.
I mean, at that point, it's too late. I was in the thick of making the album, believe it or not.
Okay, I got you.
And, but I was going to put the album to one side and potentially put the release date back.
I got you.
if they got to the final, because I'd have had to stop making the album to go to Moscow.
Because, seriously, if something only happens like every 50 years, you pretty much have to be there if you can, right?
Absolutely. In England's case, yeah. It's, when good things happen, it's few and far between, let's say. So we'll take it, yeah.
I know a lot of people are disappointed because England didn't win the World Cup, but getting as far as they did was quite an accomplishment.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was great. I mean, that last time was 1990 that we got to the semi-final. I remember I was about 12, 13 at the time or something, and loved it, you know. It was so exciting. It's been 28 years to get that vibe back, you know.
Yeah, well, it was exciting, and I want to tell you, a lot of people around the world fell in love with those boys. They really did. I mean, they really did bring the England national team kind of back from obscurity a little bit. You know, they're a force to be reckoned with now for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, totally. It's great team. Yeah, Kane. Something about Kane.
Harry Kane.
He's,
yeah.
He's just got the right.
Got great hair.
He's just got the right side. Oh, you like it?
Fabulous hair.
And also, as Americans, we had to pick another team because we didn't make it to the World Cup. So we're looking for anybody that we can latch on to.
Have you guys ever played Russia? They have allowed a lot of rock music over the last.
Oh,
few years.
We're massive in Russia. Yeah, yeah. It's one of
really?
Our, yeah, yeah. We play huge shows there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And is there any kind? And I'm sorry, I know this is a crazy tangent, but I'm just so fascinated with this because we always hear how much they control everything that goes on. The government is always watching and whatnot.
Yes.
Do you ever get any kind of like weird feelings over there about where you can go and what you can do?
Never in Russia, no. China, definitely there. You know, China,
really?
Yeah, China is very controlled. Yeah, I mean, they control the set list. You know, we're not allowed to.
I'm sorry.
Not allowed to play Uprising in China. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I remember the first time we were going to go there. We sort of didn't agree to modify the set list, so they wouldn't let us come in. So that was it, you know. So, and I thought,
how bizarre.
Yeah. But no, Russia never got that feeling at all. Russia feels completely
so
open.
So in China, they feel like people will be living their lives, and they're going to hear the word uprising, and they're going to go, you know what? We got to overthrow the government.
Apparently so. Apparently so. So and there's other countries as well, like... I think it's Malaysia where it's illegal to spit, I think.
Illegal to spit?
Yeah, so we got given a warning before going on stage, like, do not spit, otherwise you'll go to jail.
Now, are you a spitter?
Well, sometimes you've got to clear your throat, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I had to just gargle my way through that one, yeah.
That's a sentence I did not expect this morning. I'm going to be honest. All right, last question for the boys. Since we're talking about live shows, you mentioned the album coming out in November, and again, you guys are road dogs, and it's not like you've been off the road. You know, you guys have still been doing shows, you know, even between albums. But what are the plans once the record comes out? Is it time for another big one?
Yeah, yeah, we're actually going to clear a bit of space around when the album comes out to sort of make more videos, and we'll probably do like a couple of small-scale shows at some point, you know, when the album comes out. But then the big tour we're planning probably going to kick off in spring next year, I'd say, yeah.
All right.
And we're going to start in the States, I think, yeah.
I got the idea from the lyrics of Something Human that being on the road can be sort of detaching. Maybe you guys need to slow down a little.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say the last year or two, I think we've got it right, you know. It's been
got
lovely.
Right.
You know, we did 30 shows, 35 shows. This year we're doing like 6 or 7, but it's been really nice to, you know, have to be really creative in the studio and not ever be too exhausted from the road to not want to get in the studio, you know. So I think it's good to find the balance.
Absolutely. Well, we love that you have this new schedule that we have, where every time you guys have a new song ready, you bring it into us. We are very satisfied with. We love the hand delivery of brand new music, and congratulations on Something Human. The song is out. It's available for purchase or streaming, and the video as well. It's wild. You've got to check it out. And please, 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 come see us anytime, but bring Floyd.
He'll be here next time. Don't worry.
And we'll bring another new song in a couple months.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego at the House of Blues for Comic-Con.
By the way, at the ESPY Awards last night, our man Beer Mug was out on the red carpet. You're going to love it, Kevin. He was miserable.
He was good.
He was hot.
Excellent.
He was tired. He was hungry.
Oh, he's the best when he feels that way.
All the things you love.
As a professional, he's able to put that behind him and still do his job.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but he actually did interview some pretty big names like Chris Cyborg, like Brian Ortega, DC. I mean, he got some people on the red carpet.
Do we want him talking to DC? And
I know.
Like
I'm worried about that as well. So we'll hear those interviews coming up just after 8. First, though, look who's joined us here at the House of Blues in San Diego. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend Michael Schneider is here. Am I the only one applauding?
I know you are. At the beginning. I'll applaud myself.
At the beginning. Okay.
Executive editor of IndieWire, editor-at-large of Variety, and Mr. Comic-Con. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Bean. How you doing?
I'm very put off by his t-shirt, though. He's wearing a Kevin and Bean t-shirt with our faces on it, and it's disturbing.
Yeah, it's even more disturbing if you're wearing it. Your two mugs on my chest. This will not last long.
How does it feel against your skin?
It's kind of comfy. I gotta say, these two guys, they go on nice.
But it has to be so annoying because everywhere you go this morning, people are going to be like, the hell is that?
Don't be ridiculous. He's brought another shirt.
Oh, this is the jankiest cosplay, I think, of Comic-Con right here.
So, Michael, let's talk about Comic-Con 2018. Obviously, it gets bigger and better every year, but this year there's a little bit of a twist, as you put so aptly in your IndieWire.com headline yesterday. No Game of Thrones, no Marvel, no problem. 11 burning questions for this year's San Diego Comic-Con. And you're right. Those are two of the things that in years past have been the highlights of Comic-Con. What are they doing this year to get around that?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of these companies now are deciding that it doesn't make sense to spend a lot of money and bring your show to Comic-Con if you don't have anything actually really to tout. And as we know, Game of Thrones will be back for another year. So HBO decided to sit this one out. But there's still a ton going on, so much TV that you're not going to miss miss it, to tell you the truth. You know, obviously, Breaking Bad is having a reunion panel, which is going to be huge. Doctor Who is revealing their new Doctor. You know, of course, Walking Dead always has huge panels. Sure. So there's a lot going on here still.
Are you surprised to see a Breaking Bad reunion panel just 5 years after the show went off the air?
Well, you know, this is all about nostalgia these days, right? Everyone's like quickly, doing these revivals and reunions, and
right,
so
it's 5 years.
Yeah, it hasn't been 20
for 5 years.
Yeah, it's the 10-year anniversary from the premiere in 2008. Ah. That's how they're getting away with it, and because Better Call Saul is still in the zeitgeist, so in some ways, the Breaking Bad sort of lure has never really disappeared. So.
I don't know what their original plan was, how many seasons they planned on Better Call Saul going, but the show has been so great, and it's now edging into very close to Breaking Bad territory. Are they going to get to a point where they're going to be in trouble because they should be at a part of the story where Walter White needs to show up?
Well, yeah, at some point, I think Walter White may show up, and also Jesse. So there have been hints for a while that those two guys might show up toward the end of the run, perhaps. But you know what? They can also jump forward, and they've been talking about what's the future of Saul. You know, he's actually now Gene working at the Cinnabon in Omaha. So you could potentially turn this into, okay, what's the redemption story for Saul in present day? So that show could continue for
a
while.
Yeah.
All right.
You mentioned Walking Dead. Are we expecting, they're notoriously tight-lipped, and of course they got to give us something here, but are we going to get any more information about how they're going to lose Andrew Lincoln in this upcoming season?
You know, they always come armed with a trailer and some hints, but you're right. They are notoriously tight-lipped, and I don't know how much we're actually going to get out of them, but this may be the last chance for Andrew Lincoln to be up there on stage with Norman Reedus and the whole gang, so it might be sort of almost a farewell feel, and so they might let some things out. You know, the ratings are down for that show, so I think they need to stoke some interest a little bit more, so that may lead them to actually give a little bit more info.
It is sort
usual.
Of funny that they have a giant panel, and they have the whole cast, and they have the creators and everybody else, and they give you very little. I mean, that's really...
You know what Andrew Lincoln can do? He could pull a Love Actually, and he doesn't have to say it. He just holds up on the signs and just keeps, right?
Here's how I die.
That would be amazing.
That would be pretty cool.
And then he's shot and killed by Robert Kirkman.
On stage.
Yeah. That's a twist.
Let me ask Michael Snyder is our guest from IndieWire and Variety. We're talking about Comic-Con TV and movie panels here in San Diego this weekend. Let me ask you about a couple new things that are very buzzy. And how successful is it to debut? Like, for instance, Mayans MC, for instance, which is a new show coming up from Kurt Sutter.
Can't wait.
Do you make a big impact if you're bringing a new project to Comic-Con, or is it really kind of tough to cut through?
I think it depends. Again, you know, Mayans MC obviously is coming off of Sons, so there is sort of this built-in franchise. So you do that, and you've already got a fan base that can't wait to see, okay, what's the next chapter? What's Kurt Sutter got up his sleeves? So that's why that thing is already huge, and I believe that's going to be in Hall H. So, you know, they're already expecting a huge crowd to see
Hall H,
what that's all
the
about.
Line right now is back to the Mexico border.
Yeah, I think it's going to keep going. They may start actually deporting some of the Comic-Con attendees, unfortunately.
Have you seen any of the Mayans MC yet?
Yeah. They actually, I was at the Austin TV Festival about a month ago, and so they showed a big chunk of it, the first opening. And yeah, it starts off. I mean, it's, you know, there's
it
already.
It comes right out of the gate.
There's an ambush.
Oh,
there's some shooting. There's some serious action.
Were you a Suns fan?
So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so excited.
Especially
for this.
When they did that after show.
No, that was
and there
terrible.
Was
that guy
host.
Was.
Oh, remember that?
Was
it was
like
live. Yeah,
it was weird.
Come
yeah,
on, Michael.
I saw that.
It was, but it was live TV, and you never knew what was going to happen.
That's for sure.
That was strong.
Castle Rock.
Yes.
Oh, down across Castle Rock.
Yeah.
That's Fraggle Rock.
That's Fraggle Rock. That's
this is the new Stephen King anthology series. It's going to be on Hulu. Now, I adored the Hulu adaptation of 11/22/63. I adored that so much from Stephen King. What do you know about Castle Rock?
Yeah, well, if you're a Stephen King fan, you're really going to dig this because it's got all sorts of Easter eggs, you know, from Shawshank Redemption to you know, just about every major Stephen King title. So if you're into King, then I think you're really going to like this show.
Michael, what panels are you going to be involved in personally?
So I am moderating the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
All right.
Awesome.
Now you're talking.
This afternoon.
So
7 o'clock. Yeah, it's you know, the big comeback story, obviously. Yeah. The show that
such
was canceled
great news.
And then uncanceled.
They canceled it, then another network picked it up, which is just, this is a good time for TV shows that have ardent fan bases.
Yeah, yeah. And this obviously, you know, it was huge for the cast, and they're still celebrating. So I can't wait to see those guys up on stage and just have a party.
It's a fun group of people, the whole group.
Yeah, I think they've got more funny people on their cast than any show on television.
So good.
That's going to be a blast to do.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you personally excited about going to see while you're there?
Well, there's a lot of – we haven't talked about the activations yet, and there's a ton of them this year. You know, I just walked by the Jack Ryan one, actually. You know, that's the Amazon adaptation.
Can't wait for that.
And, you know –
John Krasinski?
Yeah, John Krasinski. Yeah. And so you can kind of be Jack Ryan and crawl through sort of a they've got like a Middle Eastern set where you're chasing bad guys.
What could go wrong?
It looks kind of fun. There's a Good Place, a Good Place activation. So speaking of Mike Schur and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you can find out whether or not you're going to the Good Place or the Bad Place. And spoiler alert, I think we're all going to the Bad Place.
I think we're in
for
the
sure.
Bad
yeah.
Place.
Anyone involved in this show is you're right, Ali. We're in the Bad Place.
The Bad Place. There's also Purge City, which, Kevin, I think you need to.
I feel like I need to.
Yeah. No. So.
Come on, Ali. No. Come on.
No, he will take it too far. He'll be like, I thought this was real.
You could do anything.
It's actually kind of fun. It's a parody of Party City. So it's like you're going to Purge City to pick up your supplies for the upcoming Purge.
That's funny.
And you'll get some swag out of it. So, and the other thing I need to show you guys, I showed Ali this already. If you guys go inside the convention center and you need to use the facilities, the bathroom, make sure you pick up one of the toilet seat covers.
Okay.
Because
I don't want to sit on Deadpool's face.
It's Deadpool's face.
But it says, this is all we could afford. That's amazing.
Yeah. So when you need to take a dump, head over and grab Deadpool's head.
That's a classy way to say it, Michael.
Thank you.
Just can't believe you brought down the quality level of this program. That was very difficult to do, Michael.
When in Rome,
All right, where should people check in with you and your online for ongoing coverage of Comic-Con this weekend?
So, IndieWire.com will be covering all the panels, the activations, etc. On you know, also on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter,
everywhere.
That good stuff. Yeah.
All right, sounds great, Michael Snyder. We love you. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live from San Diego at the House of Blues for Comic-Con. Bean, I got to tell you, Michael Snyder was just here and he had our shirt on. Mm-hmm. Very disturbing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
To see your face on somebody else's body.
And the way he kept rubbing his nipples.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good look. It's not a good look for anybody involved. If you want to stop by, if you're in the San Diego neighborhood, you're on your way down listening to the show. We're at 1055 Fifth Avenue, San Diego, House of Blues, broadcasting live till 10 o'clock, and back here again tomorrow, bringing you lots of Comic-Con stuff. Straight ahead, Beer Mug on the red carpet of last night's ESPYs in L.A. You'll love that. And at 9 o'clock, more tickets for Imagine Dragons. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Ali, Thursday morning, what's happening?
Where did Kevin say we were earlier? I don't think it was C or something.
C and fifth.
Oh, is that okay?
Yes.
Oh, was it fifth? Okay.
Apologies. Wow.
Bean?
Sure. Apologies.
Fifth and C.
That's what I said. What's happening? I got it right for once in my life. I walked out and looked.
Sorry.
Come on.
Well, you can't blame her for double checking.
Doubting me is the right move. But
okay.
This particular time, I was right.
Bean, I'm sure you've seen this. I don't think Kevin has, and I'm not going to show him the picture until I've kind of finished reading a few things about it. But there is a giant open shirt statue of Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park. It popped up next to London's iconic bridge, and it's both puzzling and wowing tourists alike. And we have come to find out that it was put up by Sky's subscription service, Now TV, because they are celebrating 25 years since Steven Spielberg's blockbuster hit graced the screen. What if I told you it was a 330-pound statue, measures 25 feet, and apparently took 250 hours in the making?
What?
Prepare yourself. I'm about to click on it so you can see it.
All right. Jeff Goldblum.
Yay!
His shirt's open.
And he's just leaning back.
If you were told it was Jeff Goldblum, you have no idea.
Oh, no. That's like an iconic picture.
Is it? I think it looks just like him.
Yeah, it's a meme.
But it is. Wow, that is something.
Look at the people taking a selfie. That's awesome.
It's become the hottest selfie spot in all of London. Everybody wants to get their picture taken with Goldblum now.
It is going to be sticking around until next week. And if I was one of those people with a jet and money, I'd fly just to take a picture next to that. Remember when I met him when he was, I'll just say it, he was hitting on my high school tennis team. And
your team, the entire team?
Oh, the entire team. Okay. Like, oh, I'm Jeff Goldblum. And it was weird. And I decided, because I'm awful, I decided to say, hey, do that thing at the end of the show where you put your arm up like you're making a muscle and do the da-da-da-da-da. And he goes, who do you think I am? And I said, you're Bowser from Sha-na-na. And he was
I knew fully well.
He was so annoyed. And I was like, you're hitting on 16-year-olds. It was awesome.
That sounds like a good time.
We were an old-looking 16, haggard, really. Like, they just—he didn't know. Guys, let's talk potato chips. Remember when we were kids, they just came in potato-flavored?
Right.
And then it was like sour cream and onion. Everyone's like, this is good. Wow, look at us really branching out. Well, Lay's revealed yesterday that they have new flavors of its Taste of America line of chips. Now, these are 8 limited varieties that represent different parts of the country.
Okay.
So, the heartland, mid-America. Apparently, they eat a lot of pizza there. So, their chip is deep dish pizza. The Northeast, their chip is lobster roll. That's disgusting.
What?
Do you want a chip that tastes fishy?
I don't think so.
No, sir.
And isn't lobster roll still available?
Yes, you can still
have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Fried pickles with ranch, representing the Midwest. Your people down in the Gulf Coast, Bean, mm-hmm. Cajun spice.
Of course.
That makes sense.
All right.
The poor South, pimento cheese. Womp, womp. Ew. Thai sweet chili for the Pacific Northwest. Chili con queso. For Southwest.
Right. There's a lot of potato chip information, Allie.
And the Atlantic crab spice. And then they have 34 flavors representing countries. For Latvia. No. You were nervous.
I was believing it. I was like, I'm not sure we have time for that.
Make it stop. This Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, supposed to come out during the 50th anniversary of Sharon Tate's murder. Mm-hmm. And some people were wondering, do you do that? Why do you? Don't draw attention to that. And it's not a good situation. But it's been moved. But people with knowledge of the situation said that the movie was moved to the end of July to give it a full month of playtime for summer audiences. So it had nothing to do with a little backlash about coming out on the 50th anniversary of
Sharon
Tate's murder.
Would that seem like bad taste to you if it was pegged to an anniversary? Because I think if a 20-year anniversary 9/11 movie came out in September,
right.
20 years, I would think that was fine. If you did a movie about the riots of 1968 and it came out 50 years after, I think that would be fine. I don't think that bothers me.
Well, even if it did, it's been moved.
Okay.
All right. Okay. But now, are you bothered that it's moved?
You want them to move it back?
No, I was wondering. I mean, it sounds like they made that decision independent of any criticism that may have been coming their way.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wondered if there are people who thought it would be insensitive to make it look like you were capitalizing on the murder. But I just think an anniversary is a legitimate reason and timing to put out. That's all.
I just wish poor Tarantino could have gotten some stars for this.
I know. Really? He's really slumming these days.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Dakota Fanning, Damian Lewis, Burt Reynolds, Margot Robbie, Kurt Russell, Michael Madsen, Tim Roth, Timothy Oliphant, Luke Perry.
Holy crap.
Dylan McKay. I should have led with that.
That's
amazing. Sorry. I know. It looks incredible.
Can you take the Jeff Goldblum thing down? Because it's really...
Nope, I'm leaving that up. It's actually my screensaver now.
Distracted me.
Enjoy that. It is. It's so right in your face. And the shirt is open, so you just see an erect left nipple. Good times. It is good times. There are some birthdays today, and
She's looking through her paperwork.
Love to tell you what they are. Great people. Benedict Cumberbatch, I remember that. And John Jones, remember that?
Mm-hmm. And others.
Others.
Look it up.
Google it.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego at the House of Blues for Comic-Con.
Allie, no cocktails yet? The bar's got to be open. It's after 8 a.m.
How dare you, I've asked.
Okay. I'm just saying, what's the point of doing the show from a bar if you're not drinking, right?
Some, like, mimosa, something?
It is a Comic-Con weekend here in San Diego at the House of Blues, the Kevin DeBean Show on a Thursday morning. Muggs, though, has not joined us because he had a big night last night. You were on the red carpet of the ESPYs, Muggs. This must have been an awards show that you were actually pretty excited to go to, I bet.
The first one I've ever been to, and super excited rolling up, and tons of athletes everywhere you turned. There was an athlete.
It is amazing how many people show up for this thing because, I mean, let's be honest, even though the ESPYs have been around and been on TV for a long time, it's a made-up award.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just the TV network giving you a statue is all it is, but they do show up for it. It is a pretty good broadcast. Muggs, as you know, gives us an intro on the red carpet before he conducts his interviews.
A lot of athletes here, guys. A lot of athletes. Let's see who we can talk to.
Right. Didn't put update. A lot into that.
A good update right there. A lot of athletes.
I'm surprised why last night and this morning, Muggs is so surprised that the ESPYs would have a lot of athletes participating. It seems like a weird choice, right? All right. Emily Failzer and Danny Camoranesi. I'm sure I'm saying both of those names wrong, but they are U.S. Women's Hockey Olympic gold medalists. And I don't know that Muggs gets off on the right foot with his first question.
Did anybody ever told you the terrible old cliche that girls are not allowed to play hockey or shouldn't play hockey?
Unfortunately, we have been told that a few times along the way, but clearly we can.
And you just drop your gloves and just, you know, square up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's a nervous courtesy laugh right there.
It sure is. I mean, I was so uncomfortable with that question because these women have accomplished as much as can be accomplished in women's hockey. Why would you even bring up that there are some people who think they can't do it?
Tell us about the bad old days.
I mean, what? Didn't that strike you as a little weird, Allie?
Yeah, and if you wanted to make it a little better, you could have said, any idiots ever say this to you? So at least they know that you're aware that that's a stupid thing to say.
Okay.
All right. Listen, I've got some notes.
He talks to NFL player Chris Johnson next, and you'll understand why I say to you, this guy doesn't need CBD or THC. Listen to his interview about this question.
You think Goodell will ever relax the restrictions on CBD and THC and marijuana use?
I'm not sure.
Hopefully.
It don't matter to me.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, that was a sweet interview right there.
That's two guys who don't need CBD or THC.
I was getting a little contact off that.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right,
this
one is going to hurt you, Kevin and Allie, as Kings fans. Braden McNabb was there, who, of course, now plays for the Golden Knights, and Muggs talked to him about that.
Well, Braden, great showing. We loved you on the Kings, and you look great on the Knights, and we're sorry to not have you anymore, but you look great.
A lot of Muggs saying things are great, though.
Whatever you did this year, we used to like you.
All right. One of the biggest stars in sports and one of our all-time favorites here on the Kevin DeBean Show, and I got to agree with Kevin a little bit. I'm nervous to let Beer Mug out into the wild interviewing our friend Daniel Cormier, UFC heavyweight champion. But he did, and I got to give Muggs props. Part of it is because DC Central Professional turned out to be a pretty good interview.
Big win against Stipe. Let me ask you, DC, what's next for you?
You know, I'm going to fight Brock Lesnar, you know, unless something presents itself very special at 205.
Now, let me ask you, during 226, unfortunately, Ortega's opponent had a dropout.
Yep.
How much more of that are we seeing nowadays where fighters are getting concussions or they're not making weight? What's going on with that?
I think that what happened with Max Holloway was the UFC making the right call because the kid didn't seem like himself all week, so they started checking him and figured out that he just wasn't right. So I believe that was the right call.
Now, a guy like myself, I'm 205.
All right, stop right there. Why does Muggs always go for, what if I were to be a UFC fighter?
That's his default position.
Why does that ever enter your head, Muggs?
It's like my fantasy world. I kind of like play it out in my head. What if?
All right, let's see if a DC humors you.
About 6'1".
You're tall, isn't it?
Would I be middle? Would I be light heavy?
You would have to cut some weight.
I'd have to cut some weight again.
Yeah, you'd have to go 185 if you want a chance. Because a guy like me, I cut from 245 to fight at 205.
And I would not want to fight you, DC.
No, you don't.
Sam, good seeing you, man. Take care.
Muggs, you will never be 185.
How dare you?
Seriously, if you ended up on a desert island tomorrow for the rest of your life, you'd never make it down.
Also, I agree with Bean that interview was good because of DC.
Right. Who did he fight?
Stipe.
No,
you said Stipe. I did. I said Stipe.
On the fight against Stipe.
Yeah. Sorry.
Brian Ortega, you guys, who was in the studio a couple weeks before the fight, we just fell in love with this kid, and we were so disappointed his fight didn't happen. But Muggs caught up with him on the red carpet of the ESPYs as well.
Have you talked to Dana about when you think you're going to be fighting next and how many months it'll be upcoming?
So they're doing some tests with Max right now, seeing if he's medically fit to compete. Then we will set another date. If not, then we have to find out what's going to happen next. You know, like everything has just been dead. You know, it's heartbreaking, man. When you put your heart and soul into something, this is my life's dream. And then within 2 days, it gets taken away from me. I can't help but get upset. Now we're going to have the title shot later. So we're sitting good.
I hope so. Fingers crossed for Brian. All right, now we get into some real Muggsisms, you guys.
All right.
He interviews a race car driver. There's not much you need to hear from the interview, but his name is Joseph Newgarden. Joseph Newgarden. Here's how Muggs ends the interview.
Jet, thank you so much for stopping by. Take care. I feel like a dick. I just called Joseph Newgarden. I just called him Jeff, but I came close. It's a J name, right? Right? No. But I felt like a dick still. He didn't correct me. He just looked at me like I was an asshole.
Well, he did the right thing. Chris Cyborg, you guys. Let's see what Muggs has got for her.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next female fighter needs no introduction. It is none other than Chris Cyborg.
Okay, the definition of needs no introduction, by the way, is mm-hmm. needs no introduction. But why mm-hmm. female fighter, Muggs?
I wondered that as well.
Mm-hmm. Just in case people didn't know.
Oh,
what?
My God.
Wait a minute. This is video.
At some point, isn't somebody just a fighter, I think is what we're asking?
For the listening audience, I did it.
Josh Reynolds, NFL player for the Rams, Muggs is not going to let him get out of his sight until he gets him to do something very specific.
Oh, no.
Whose house, Josh?
Rams' house. Baby.
Rams' house.
I mean, why?
Come on, Muggs. What are you,
he's not a monkey.
Dance
what are you
for me,
doing?
Monkey.
What's Seriously. Wrong with you?
It's the Rams champ, baby.
Terrell Owens, who, by the way, had a couple of very funny moments on the ESPYs last night, walks by. I think Muggs got him.
What? When are you setting up the T-O-H-O-F? T-O, that was a T-O Hall of Fame, for those of you who are not in the know. Stay up on your game.
Oh, you're telling us to stay up on our game.
What? Why? Why is this happening?
Swaggy P from the Golden State Warriors went by.
Swaggy P! Swaggy P! Swaggy P!
Now, Muggs, are you hoping that he hears his own name and then turns and walks to you for an interview, or you're just celebrating the fact that he's walking by?
I was just happy to see the guy, you know?
Okay.
Sure.
I feel like you made a real connection with Von Miller, though.
Hey, the ESPYs don't start until Von shows up right there.
Von, what's up,
man? Von Miller!
What is happening?
Let
me explain something to you guys. It was very hot that day yesterday, uh-huh. about 95 degrees, 67% humidity. I was once again getting red carpet delusional.
Right, but that makes Von Miller German?
Yeah, that was an odd delivery.
Yeah, I don't know.
And finally, you know Muggs gets it in his little head that he's going to talk to certain people on the red carpet. The stars he won't leave without an interview from. And if he doesn't get them, he recreates them for our enjoyment. And this is the most superstar series of roundtables that Mugg has ever done for us.
So I saw Aaron Rodgers walk by. Wasn't really doing interviews, but I got him on my tip sheet right now. So once again, I'm going to conduct my own Aaron Rodgers interview right here. Mr. Rodgers, are you feeling healthy and ready to compete at the highest level once again for the Green Bay Packers? Discount double check. Thank you, Aaron. All right, so I got Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans right here. Anthony, what's it like to have the coolest unibrow in the biz? It's really cool. Okay, look at this. I got Chris Berman, of course, legendary ESPN anchor. Chris, what's going on? He could go. Oh. Wait. Thank you, Chris.
I got to tell you,
another
delivery.
Huge legendary UFC mixed martial artist, George St. Pierre. George, you ever think about coming back and fighting in the UFC?
Wee wee.
Thank you, George.
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is.
Thank you.
On the red carpet of the ESPYs last night. Well done, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:40, live from San Diego at the House of Blues for Comic-Con.
couple of about a week ago or so, we got an email from our friend Dr. Mo, one of our two favorite doctors here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he said, "Hey, I, as you know, love the Comic-Con. I've been coming for decades, and I'm going to be down there this weekend. You guys should squeeze in some time to talk about an organization that I work with called the Hero Initiative. I'll hook you up with my friend Jim McLaughlin." We said, "Tell us more." Well, he did, and I realized this is something we really need to talk about. Let's welcome Dr. Mo and Jim McLaughlin to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, guys?
I mean,
doing well. Thanks a lot for having us on here today.
It's our pleasure. So, Jim, you are the president of the Hero Initiative and also a co-founder going back how far, sir?
We started this organization 18 years ago, so we've been up and running for a good long time. Time flies, man. It feels like yesterday in many ways.
Well, because how did it's you comic start? Books. Yeah, okay. Because it's comic books, we need an origin story.
Yeah, how did it start?
The long story short, and I'll try to keep it short. I used to be a sports writer, and Major League Baseball has an organization called BAT, B-A-T, the Baseball Assistance Team. Mm-hmm. And Major League Baseball realized that today, if you're a backup middle infielder, you're making $2.5 million a year. But if you go back to the days before free agency, guys had to get a job during the winter just to make ends meet. So Major League Baseball set something up to take care of a lot of the retired players in their old age, particularly because in sports, your window of opportunity and your window of earning is very short.
Right.
So I loved that organization when I was a sports writer, and I always showed up for their $300 a plate rubber chicken dinners when they did their fundraisers and stuff like that. And later I transitioned into comics, and I looked around and I said, there needs to be something like this in the comics business as well. And there wasn't. And I talked to a million people, and everybody basically told me, wow, what a great idea. Yeah, nobody's ever done it. And since nobody else was doing it, I put together a few friends and started it.
That's
and,
it.
And there we go.
And who did you decide to help? Who needed the assistance?
Right now, we have helped over 70 different comic creators and their families with over $1 million.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Since inception of the organization.
And these are people who started or created things and then just didn't get paid for it like they do today?
You know, by and large, the sort of elevator pitch I give people very often is, you guys know how it is. You go to a Batman movie these days, and that's $1 billion worth of worldwide mm-hmm. box office.
Right.
But the guy who was drawing Batman back in 1974, he doesn't see a nickel off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And these people created the background and the stories and the richness of characters that are carrying forward for decades and decades. And many of those people are now up there in age, and many of those people might have financial difficulties. And sometimes it's people who aren't even that old. You know, sometimes it's life happens. You know, mm-hmm. tragedies can happen. And when somebody winds up in a situation, somebody who's a comic book creator who winds up in a situation where they're just out of their depth, something happened, you know, a tragedy happened, an illness, you know, another catastrophic event, you know, we're there to step up and help them out.
How do you find these people?
By and large, they come to us, or very often it's also kind of a friend of a friend. Mm-hmm. People can be prideful, that's for sure. And very often people don't want to admit, I'm in trouble, I need some help. So very often we'll get a call from somebody saying, hey, you should really look in on Joe Blow over here. You know, mm-hmm. I think he's going through a rough patch and, you know, going to get evicted in 2 days and so on. So very often people will put up their hand, but very often people can be prideful, and it's a friend of a friend who refers somebody to us.
Jim, can you put some bubble wrap around Stan Lee? I'm getting nervous about him lately.
You know, I'm happy to tell you that I actually visited Stan Lee. Today is Thursday, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2 days ago. I swung by Stan's place and visited
Excellent.
Him. And Stan's been through a rough patch over the last few months. And I think anybody, you know, with Al Gore's Google machine can take a look at that
right.
and figure out what's been going on. And he's taken a turn for the better just in the last month or so.
Excellent.
So that's great.
Really
so,
happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. All right, Dr. Mo, you're the medical director for the Hero Initiative. What kinds of things do you do?
Whatever he asks, actually. I sort of volunteered my services saying, look, I'm an old school comic geek. I love comics. I grew up with comics. I grew up going to San Diego Comic-Con.
You've been coming to Comic-Con since?
70s.
Yeah. 1970s.
And was a little in the basement of a hotel with
right.
just nothing but comic dealers. And so I sent a letter ages ago and said, listen, if I can help. And Jim said, are you serious? I said, absolutely. So when there's a question of, can you give this person a call? They're really sick and they need somebody to talk to. Or this person is kind of, or how should we spend the money better? Does this guy need surgery? Does he need physical therapy?
Oh, interesting.
How can we do that sort of stuff? Sometimes he calls and says, dude, I don't know what's going on. Can you just call these people and figure out, is this like a real medical issue or are they just being sort of...
Does he ever call and say, can you just send some Vicodin?
No, that's just us. No. That's just the voicemail messages we leave constantly for Dr. Yeah. Moe.
My bad. Dr. Moe said something so lovely earlier. I said, this is so wonderful that this organization exists and for somebody to be able to reach out and say, I've got this happening in my life and know that it's going to be handled by you guys. And your response was, this is my pleasure. Like, this is just...
Oh, 100%.
It's... And that's so lovely to hear from a doctor, because really, we give y'all a lot of our money. It's not your pleasure.
These guys mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
And so one of the simple things Jim's asked me to do once was there was a guy out in Florida, and he was getting ready to have some heart procedure the next day, and he was really nervous about it. And he wasn't comfortable. The doctors hadn't explained things to him or whatever. And all he wanted was somebody to talk to him. And so I called him up, and I told him. I said, dude, you mean something to me. And I just talked to him for about an hour, and I walked him through how the things were going to go and how they'd numb up his leg and they stick a needle into it. He was going to be fine. This is what they're going to check.
But no one would tell him that.
Yeah,
made a difference to him.
Jim,
again, Jim McLaughlin, the president of the Hero Initiative, you said you raised over $1 million in the last 18 years for these people who've worked in comic books that maybe need it. Where do you get the money from?
It comes from many different sources. A lot of it is things like the San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. We do probably 20 or 25 comic conventions a year. So we're very fortunate in that I have a solid volunteer crew across the country. And we've got people doing events all the time. We're selling books. We've got artists coming over to our table, you know, doing drawings for donations. Right now, sort of the autograph business in the comics world is a big thing. People want to get their book signed, and we have tons of artists. We usually just put out like a tip jar. It's like street musician style. Hey, you want to get your signs book signed?
Oh.
Chuck a couple of bucks here for the Hero Initiative. And it might not sound like a lot, but when you take that times 20 artists on a weekend, times 25 conventions over a year, that starts to accumulate.
Sure.
And there's lots of other great programs as well. One thing that's central to Southern California is Ralph's, the grocery store chain.
Yeah.
They have their Ralph's Reward program, and they have a community giving thing, and you're able to sign up your Ralph's card for any of Ralph's approved charities, and we are one of them.
No
so
kidding.
If you sign up your Ralph's Club
and
card,
a portion goes to you.
A portion. We get like 0.00001%.
Well, is it worth
Ralph's.
My time then or not?
It is absolutely worth your time because, again, it's one of those things, you know. I mean, look at you. I mean, you eat a lot of what? Carrots, right?
Sure.
So, you know,
yeah, sure.
Those carrots. But
carrots.
Again, you get 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people right. doing it. It starts to add
I will
up
do that. Big. I shop at Ralph's right near my house. I'll do that.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's a great way to do it. Well, you have educated us, gentlemen. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. So it's called the Hero Initiative, and is it heroinitiative.org if people want more information, or would even better make a contribution to you?
Heroinitiative.org, yeah. Check it out. You can contribute right there online. Tells you everything you need
That's
to know.
That's great. And last question then, for folks who may be listening that are coming down for the weekend for Comic-Con, any particular place where you're going to be that you want to hit real quick?
We are at the San Diego Convention Center. We're here for Comic-Con. We're at booth 5003. Also, if people are coming down tonight, Stone Brewing is one of the major craft breweries in the world. They're headquartered here in San Diego. They're having an amazing event tonight called HopCon. That they
all right.
Yeah, I'm listening.
There
I'm
you
in.
Go. There you go.
You
they
got
they
me.
Have a special beer they do once a year called Woot Stout, and every year we have an artist draw a new label for the Woot Stout. So they're having HopCon tonight. Buy your tickets, come down, try the beer. You can get autographed prints from the artist Joe Jusko. We get a cut of the gate too, so you can have some food, have some beer, meet Joe Jusko, have a grand old time, and Hero Initiative gets a benefit out of that as well.
Woot Stout beer ain't nothing to f with.
We see what you did there, Ellie.
Thank you. No, one man
who
said
from
yes.
the crowd said yes.
Oh,
put her
Dave.
In the file.
Oh.
Put her in the file.
That's nonsense. So
Jim, Mo, have a great convention. Thanks for spending the time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Live from Comic-Con at the House of Blues in San Diego.
Hey, I've heard that new Mission Impossible movie is one of the greatest action movies of all time. Have you guys heard that?
I haven't heard that specifically, but I think every single Mission Impossible movie is great.
Apparently, this is the best of all of them.
Excellent.
First of all, and is even at another level. The famous scene that we heard about, where Tom Cruise broke his ankle, is in the movie.
Sweet.
We get to see that
I get
happen.
To see some sweet broken ankle.
Exactly right. All right, 8:53, Imagine Dragons tickets for you coming up in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And you qualify for a chance to meet the band this weekend at the Forum. First, though, Allie, what's happening?
Remember earlier in the show, we were talking about the Brady Bunch house being up for sale, and would you ever want to live there? Everyone's coming to take pictures. Why would you ever want that?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
It's up for sale, and I would not want it at all.
Oh, I thought no,
not
you didn't remember.
Oh, no, I remember.
Okay, all right, got it. Well, same thing is happening right now with the Full House House in San Francisco. It's not up for sale, but everybody goes there to take a picture, including tour buses full of people that just plop right there. People get out, take the picture, head on back in. But now, after complaints about double parking, congestion outside of this Victorian home, they've decided no more. The San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency said, tour buses no longer able to do it. No one parking on that street at all. Here's my concern. What if I'm having a fridge delivered on that street?
Can't do it.
No?
Nope. You have to walk it in on your back.
All right. That was my concern. All right. That makes perfect sense.
There's no way to stop people who are in San Francisco on vacation from wanting to go and taking that picture. People are still going to do it. Just a question of where you're going to make them park, I guess.
I mean, way to go against the man.
Right? Well, he's an outlaw. Just, he doesn't play really by your rules.
It's one of the most famous scenes in America, though.
Right.
You know, those four Victorian houses next to each other with the cityscape behind. I mean, it's a beautiful picture to take, and people are still going to want to do it. Yeah. But I understand why the people who live there hate it.
Yeah, they should cut it out.
Okay. Allie has spoken.
She's just making a bad joke.
I'm sorry, just, guys. I've had so much coffee.
Just can't.
I apologize. So, a film version of Bruce Springsteen's Springsteen on Broadway, his acoustic one-man show, is going to hit Netflix on December 15th. It's essentially the show that he does on Broadway where he talks a lot, and then he sings a song, and then he talks more. And then he sings another song. Bean, you've seen it. You saw it on Broadway.
And it's phenomenal. But if you're just somebody who only likes Bruce's music and you just want to see a concert, there are plenty of those available. This is not that.
Shut up, sing!
No, it's not like that at all. This is something completely different. I mean, it's a stage show that is half talk, half music. But it's real good, you guys.
I just love the description. Springsteen on Broadway clocks in at 2 hours. Features 15 of his biggest musical hits, along with lengthy life stories. They didn't have to put lengthy in.
It's a little snarky.
That's just mean. That is ridiculous. Hey, if you are headed to North Korea anytime soon.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Dennis Rodman wants to bring a friend to North Korea with him.
And he gets a plus one this time?
He got a plus one.
That's great.
Yeah. He said this friend is doing amazing work around the world. And if the door is open in September, he would like to extend an invitation to this man. And I could think of no one I'd want to travel with less, and no one I would want to represent us in North Korea than Kanye West.
And by the way, in all fairness, Kanye West gets it.
Oh. You weren't aware of that, were you?
I was aware that Trump thinks that.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting. So he said this. Quote, if he wants to make an album about that, he'll be there for like 6 to 7 days. He'll really see what's going on. He's already got this planned out. Six or seven days. He knows what they're going to do. But Kim Jong-un, Dennis Rodman, and Kanye West.
Do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
I mean, honestly, I want this to happen.
Of course you do.
And I want Kim.
I'm a superhero.
I want video cameras to follow them everywhere they go.
Remember,
and I
when
want to watch it live.
When you kept saying that about Trump running, you're like, we got to do it for the comedy. Remember that?
Seriously, you guys, it'll be
remember
so funny.
Days? Yeah. How'd that pan out?
Nope.
All right.
I don't remember that at all.
You don't?
No, it's
interesting.
Odd.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Bean, one of your favorite movies, Brokeback Mountain?
How is that one of my favorite movies?
I'm just. Isn't it?
I mean, I've
told you that many times.
Yeah,
I've never
have.
Seen it, but beyond that,
come on.
Why do I love it?
With the sound on. What's wrong with me?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Jake Gyllenhaal, Heath Ledger. Iconic. How many Academy Awards was it nominated for?
Yeah,
a whole bunch.
A lot of people thought it should have won Best Picture Oscar that year.
Absolutely. Were you aware that Gus Van Sant was supposed to actually be the one to direct the picture?
No.
He was, and Ang Lee eventually got the gig. But guess who Gus Van Sant said, hey, I'd like for these people to be in it, and every single one of them said no. You ready?
Okay.
I'm ready.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Ryan Phillippe. What?
I mean, at least for Leo and Brad, though, I bet they got offered every single movie that needed a white guy in his
30s. Right.
I mean, they were probably on every single list. They have to turn most of them down.
But it doesn't mean they're huge names.
Those are huge names, yeah. But you know what? They got the perfect actors for that movie.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know how they could have done any better with it.
I'm sorry, the movie you haven't seen?
Says the guy who hasn't seen it?
Well, I certainly am aware of the quality. And I saw all the Oscar nominations.
All the nominations. Okay.
People were happy.
Bean's lying.
Right. Do you think Matt Damon was like, can Ben be in it? Just saying. They're very close, and I love that about them. You want to know some birthdays?
Sure.
Jared Padalecki. Benedict Cumberbatch. I've had too much coffee. I'm like, my mouth isn't even working right.
You want to take another run at that?
Benedict Cumberbatch. Uh-huh. UFC's John Jones, Brian May, and Anthony Edwards. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from the House of Blues in San Diego for Comic-Con.
Ernie Rios from La Puente. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won your tickets for Imagine Dragons at the Forum. What? I pulled it off.
You Mexicaned it up pretty good.
And is a qualified to win grand prize to meet the band. Your chance to do the same is coming up at noon, 3, 8, and or 6 and 9. Hey, Allie, who's our special guest here at the House of Blues who's helping us out this morning?
Luke McGarry is over there.
Awesome cartoonist.
He's drawing us right now, and I might have just pointed to my nose, and I said, tighten it up a little bit.
Oh, wait. We can make improvements?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can you make my head smaller than real size?
No one will believe that.
I tweeted
where
out.
Where are you working right now? Is it Mad Magazine?
Yeah, I'm working with Mad Magazine right now. I just made my debut with 5 pages in there that I've written and illustrated.
Sweet.
They're like, hey, do you want to work for Mad? And I was like, yeah. And I assumed it would just be like a tiny little cartoon. And then they just gave me way too much responsibility.
That's fantastic.
Congratulations.
And if you haven't seen his sad Chewy, Google it. You're going to cry.
You're going to love it. You're going to love
cry.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tweeted out the first photo, but he's live drawing. It's like we have a court reporter here. All right. Let's move on to Dr. Drew Pinsky, who I am very excited to talk. Drew, I'm sorry you're not down in San Diego with us, but how are you, man?
I know. Speaking of sad Chewy.
Right.
Okay.
This timing could not have been any better, Dr. Drew, because I recently switched my dog Linus from a pharmaceutical to CBD oil to control his seizures.
Yeah.
And it has been working wonders, not only for keeping his seizures at bay, but also just for his general mood improvement, because, of course, he's walking around stoned all the time. So he's the happiest little dog in the world. And then I saw that the FDA, for the first time, had just approved CBD oil to be used in human seizures as well, and I thought, whoa, we're at some sort of a tipping point if the FDA is getting involved, and we thought it might be a good time to kind of revisit with you on what we know and don't know about CBD.
It is. In fact, Mike Catherwood and I have a Swole Patrol podcast up right now where we're interviewing one of the guys that distributes CBD and talking about all the potential benefits from over-the-counter CBD. There's sort of 3 takeaways for me. One is, hey, everybody, have we gotten over the idea that there's such a thing as bad molecules, that molecules are evil? Listen, all molecules are biologically active, that are biologically active in human, have potential therapeutic value and have potential side effects, potential problematic values. You need to look at them honestly and realistically and decide the risk versus the benefits and decide if you're going to use something.
Do you
and
think
then
that's
study the hell out of it and not say that things shouldn't be touched by doctors because it's a bad molecule.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask is, do you think that's what's kept this from
absolutely
happening for so long, because all they look at is the downside.
Not just the, no. It's even worse. Forget the downside. They put a moral valence on molecules.
Right.
We still have that with hallucinogens to some extent. The whole thing has to be completely upended. These are molecules. They have potential risks. They have potential harms. And they have potential benefit. Let us research it. Let us apply it in clinical and medical science. And here now, CBD, which is a byproduct of cannabis, or one of the molecules in cannabis, has lots of therapeutic potential. We've known that for quite some time. The anti-seizure effects have been known for some time, and now there is an FDA-approved, very highly purified CBD. It's not the stuff you're going to get over the counter. It's not the stuff you're going to get from the pot stores. It's a pharmaceutical agent. And by the way, expect the pharmaceutical companies to get involved when there is therapeutic value. That's just the way it goes. Expect the tobacco companies to get involved with the recreational use. That's the nature of our business environment. That's just the way it goes. Or the alcohol companies. It's going to happen.
Right.
So that's one. Number two, these things do have value. Their value is, there's a lot of vague qualities to that value. People keep talking about anti-inflammatory properties. People even talk about anti-carcinogenic properties. So here's my third point. We don't know. We don't know on that front exactly what's going on. I have lots of anecdotal reports. I have a friend of mine who's a neuropsychologist who got off her immune modulatory medication and opiates for Crohn's just by going on CBD.
Wow.
So there, I have seen anecdotes of some rather remarkable results. I don't know what to make of it because it's not been formally studied because we've been stymied for so many decades, unable to study this stuff, but studies are underway. So there's going to be some real use for this.
How much THC is in the CBD?
Well, it's all over the place. That's the problem. Very little, not enough to intoxicate you usually. But it's again, you don't really know what you're getting. It's all over the place these days. That's part of the problem right now, too.
Is this some sort of, I mean, we have no idea what the potential is of this, but do you see a huge market 10 years from now? Is it going to be crazy that we hadn't been using it forever?
You know, probably not, I'm sorry to say. I think probably...
Well, you're a downer.
Right?
No, but I mean, usually the way medications work is there's usually an excessive enthusiasm up front, and then you start learning, you know, the sort of a curve where it sort of gets, you start learning that, well, some people really respond, and then some people get side effects. It's when you start using things on a wider basis that you start to see the spectrum of what's going on. It's almost impossible to have a biological agent that's just great for everything. It's just,
right.
Those don't really exist. But there will be lots of value and lots of benefit. And there'll probably be some other some other cannabis congeners that we figure out are useful too. Finally. And by the way, I'm very much involved in the research, or I'm advocating for the research at least, for use of psilocybin for end of life, use of LSD for end of life, use of MDMA for PTSD. Why not? If it works and helps people, of course we should be using these things.
How about some use of MDMA and LSD just for the weekend?
Mm. Well, that's called Kevin Ryder's
How
day out.
Dare you, sir?
Will we ever come up with a THC product that obviously we want to keep it for people that want it for appetite? So people that don't eat, people that have cancer, you want them to actually have an appetite. No. I'm doing the reverse. I want the effects, but I'm not hungry. Huh?
Well, there was something called Ramonabant for a while that was that.
Write it down.
Yeah, and it was, it made people not want to eat, but it also made them depressed. Oh. They actually took it off the market.
Allie doesn't need any more of that. Yeah. Dr. Drew, why can we never get you to write us a prescription? We've all come to you at a party and said, come on, whip out the script pad. Why will you never help us out?
Probably because you're usually for asking for things like Valium, Xanax,
right.
Ambien, the good stuff.
Oxycontin, and Norco.
We're in a lot of pain, Doc.
If you would ask for any other, like you needed your hypertensive meds to bridge across to your next prescription, that I might do that.
I need Adderall for my ADT.
Oh, my God. How many conversations have we had about this?
Dr. Drew, Midday Live, Monday to Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KEBC. And don't forget drdrew.com for all the podcasts and live appearances. And download the Heal app on the App Store or Google Play to get a doctor to just magically appear out of thin air in the comfort of your home. Have a fantastic week, sir. We appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you. Broadcasting live from the House of Blues for the Comic-Con in San Diego. Look who just walked in. We don't have any security in this place.
Is he a homeless guy or what's happening here?
Jim Jefferies.
Maybe I'm just a guy in a really great Jim Jefferies outfit who's used to being a cosplayer.
Cosplay. Yeah.
It's very impressive, very realistic, although I think the real Jim is handsomer, to be honest.
I would say so. Wow. Slightly more hair, you know.
My favorite thing is Jim walked in, looked at the people in here, and he goes, yeah, you set up seats for four rows. Way to go, guys.
And you didn't fill them.
No.
You've got 9 people have shown up. 2 of them in Kevin and Bean t-shirts, the real fans, and the other people just look like they're trying to get out of the weather.
That's about right. So, Jim, you don't strike me as a Comic-Con type guy.
I'm down here doing a field piece for the TV show, so we're going to interview some different people about comic books and stuff. But I like comic books. Yeah.
Have you ever come to Comic-Con?
I've never been. I've come down here to do Man on the Street stuff before, but I've never been allowed into any events. Like, I used to have a friend who could get me into these things, but Chris Hardwick seems to be fired from a lot of these gigs at the moment.
All right.
I was the one who really lost out in that whole situation that went down.
Oh, my God.
I'm not positive that's true.
Well, at least now the focus is on the real victim. I think that's an important discussion to be having. You need to start getting near Yvette Nicole Brown. Apparently, she's the new mastermind of Comic-Con.
Nicole Brown? Who's Nicole Brown?
Yvette Nicole Brown. She's an actress. You'd recognize her from Community. She's the one who, like, took over.
Was she killed by O.J. Simpson?
That's Nicole Simpson.
That's Nicole Brown Simpson.
Brown Simpson, right. This is the never mind, Jim.
took a lot of turns real quick.
It's good that she's had a comeback, I reckon.
It was certainly unexpected.
Cosplay is just one ill-fitting glove.
So they're literally going to drag you away from us in 3 minutes, and I'm starting to think that's not long enough.
I feel like I've come in here. Really,
can we make it 2 minutes?
People are starting to trail in from outside.
Jim, you said the other day, I saw you on the Kibble Show. It was a very funny appearance, by the way.
Thank you.
Although, frankly, I taped it because Kathy Griffin was on the same episode. But you said that you've done, did you only say 30?
What was the reason behind that?
What does that mean?
Because that's why I taped Kibble Show, is because Kathy was on, but then I saw Jim was on too, and I said,
that's not how it sounded.
Oh, I thought it was like so you could fast forward
through Kathy. No.
But my question for you is this. Did you say on his show that you have only done 34 episodes of the Jim Jefferies Show?
That's true. I only done 34. We've done 35 now. It's been an extra week.
I feel like it's been on for like 2 years, though. How have you only done 35 episodes?
We just do once a month?
We're like
a British sitcom. We do 30 a week. And
30 a week?
No, 30 a year. 30 a year.
Your math is awful.
And we only did 20 last year, and then we're only halfway through this season. So it was 35. Yeah.
And are you still enjoying it?
No! What a horrible... my life was so much better before the show. I used to work like 2 days every second week.
Right.
And I was a multimillionaire. It was fantastic.
And you're traveling so much.
Now I have to do these field pieces. I don't want to be in San Diego on a Thursday.
Okay.
I had to drive down here early to speak to some comic book nerds. Hey, thanks for coming, folks.
All right. We'll let you go because we know you have to, but when can we see what you're shooting today? What episode will that be?
This is the thing that we probably soonish, because we want to have it on during the time. So we're going to have it this week. It's going to be on this week.
This week?
Wow. We'll see how it goes. We're speaking to some guy who thinks there should be less diversity in comic books.
Less diversity?
Yeah, I feel it's super diverse. Like, you have like different superheroes, and there's men and women, and we reckon that they've reduced all the breast sizes on all the cartoon characters.
Uh-huh, they have. That's true.
Yeah, so that's not good, is it?
Well, that isn't, no. I think the diversity is good, though. People like to be
represented. Maybe they should have one big breast and one small breast, if you want to make it diverse.
I mean, if we want to make it realistic.
One little tiny breast.
Right, ladies?
Go,
huh? Who's with? All right.
Well, that is a segment I want to see. So watch a Jim show on Comedy Central. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, record it. We might have Kathy Griffin on for you.
Thank you. That's a good tip. Have a great time down here in San Diego. Okay, bye.
He's gone.
Oh, God, I love him.
Thank you, Jim.
He's right. He did make an impact in a very short amount of time. Oh, all right, 9:39. Allie's here with What's Happening to take us home. What's going on?
Oh, really? Do we have to do that?
You do. Hey, why don't you do the goddamn story I sent you that I think the K-Rock listeners actually want to know about?
Hey, guys, this is a great story that Bean sent me. 311 and The Offspring. They've recorded new versions of each other's songs in conjunction with their big summer tour that kicks off next week.
Huh.
Right? So The Offspring took on 311's 1996 hit, Down.
Okay.
Right? So they're going to be singing that.
I can see that.
And then 311 turned around and they did Offspring's 1994 smash, Self-Esteem.
Interesting.
Right?
I want to hear both of those.
Same. Well, guess what? They come out tomorrow.
Nice.
So we will play those for you guys tomorrow. It's going to be on all streaming services and radio and limited edition 7-inch vinyl. So I'm all over that.
Yeah, that
now,
sounds
Chip,
cool.
Chip, you are practically in The Offspring. Have you already heard their version of Down?
I have not, but they've done this before. A couple of years ago, they did a tour called Summer Nationals, and they did songs by Bad Religion, and they did songs by Pennywise, because they did an EP about that. So this is not the first time they've done it, but it's really cool.
Are they a great cover band?
Oh, yeah. There's tons, like, if you go back to other B-sides and stuff, there's tons of awesome covers they've done over the years, like The Damned and AC/DC, AFI. There's a bunch of cool stuff they do.
Yeah, I'm excited
to
hear that.
Do you think, Chip, that Dexter will pull a full-on Nick Hexum and just strip down? Just all chest, he's tan, that's how they do it?
There's only time will tell.
I demand it. I demand it. Just Dexter up there like a sex symbol.
I mean, I'm not sure you're in a position to demand that, but
I need it.
Okay.
I absolutely need it.
All right.
Hey, I did this story earlier, and let me see if I could do it as well. IMAX is set to release The Dark Knight in four of its theaters to mark the film's 10th anniversary.
I'm excited about that. I love that movie.
Right? It's a one-week engagement in 70 millimeter. It's going to be August 24th.
It's going as well as last time.
IMAX locations in L.A., New York, San Francisco, and Toronto. That, to me, is the best movie of all Batman. Who's with me?
Well, I haven't had time to think about it. I haven't had time to think about that, but it's certainly in the top three easy.
Which is interesting, because Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to handle that.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right.
Just trying to fill time, because I didn't think I was doing what's happening.
Not yet. That's tomorrow. I will say that Christian Bale was phenomenal in that, but I think that movie holds a special place in all of our hearts, because I think Heath Ledger's Joker may have been the best Batman villain on screen of all time.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed Sheeran, we love him.
Sure.
Right? You want to see a documentary on Ed Sheeran? It's called Songwriter. It's directed by his cousin, Marie Cummings, and it's essentially a look at the whole process of writing a song and the creative juices flowing and what happens from start, not those juices, from start to finish.
Maybe those as well.
Maybe. You want to see Ed's juices flowing?
No,
I don't know if anyone wants to see
no,
that.
No, but I am fascinated about the songwriting.
Right.
Because you start with nothing and then you have a song.
How
That's
does
magic.
It happen? How do you even get there? Obviously, everyone has different ways of going about it, but it'll be really interesting to see that. It's available worldwide exclusively on Apple Music August 28th, and then in L.A., it's going to be playing at the Arclight Hollywood on August 24th.
All right.
So not bad. Bean, what you typing back there?
You can hear typing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. It's like you're sending a very angry worded letter.
If you must know, I was trying to look for the Honda copy that we may be needing at the end of the What's Happening segment.
I thought you were just like, get Jim back, because that's
no.
What, that's what I'd be typing. But that's just me. You guys having fun? Everybody? Okay. I'm looking at their faces. It's really rough. Some birthdays for you, though. Brian May from Queen. Jared Padalecki. Benedict Cumberbatch. UFC's-ish. John Jones and Anthony Edwards. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. You tomorrow. We'll be right back here at the House of Blues in San Diego.
Yes, we will. We have, what do we have tomorrow? We've got, What's Up with Florida? We've got the dark web. We want to ask many questions about the dark web.
Yeah.
Because this broadcast is being sponsored by Unfriended
Dark Web.
Dark Web. And it just looks awesome. Yeah. And we have many questions about the dark web. And I'm starting to really get into finding out information about it.
Really?
I am really concerned how much Dave feels like he needs to be on the dark web. Like, is he trying to buy nuclear weapons or what?
I just want the good stuff, man.
I don't think there is good stuff on the dark web.
We'll find out tomorrow.
No, I think it's all like you want to buy a lady that you can chain in your basement. You want to buy illicit drugs. You want to buy weapons.
The good stuff.
I think that's... Oh, okay. All right.
Omaze has an amazing Breaking Bad...
Come back, Jim.
...charity thing going on. We'll tell you about that. And tomorrow is Friday, so we've got Keep It 100 as well. We'll see you tomorrow.